Good times. Let's see. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. How say you? Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Hello.
Good times. Well, let's see. We'll take some of your phone calls. I was in Seattle over the weekend. I went out to our affiliate out there, The End.
Successfully dodging Mark the Poet?
No. No, not at all. Ran right into him. Had a good time. Let's see. Seattle, beautiful city. You drive through other cities that have downtowns that are usable. Ours is becoming usable here in Los Angeles, but still not quite usable. And you don't see any graffiti, and you think, wow, how do they do it? Wow, look, everything looks good. It's not about, you know, L.A. has a bunch, like when you drive along the freeway, you either see graffiti or barbed wire to stop graffiti, or just huge weeds that are sticking up from the ground. Like young saplings, like 6-8 foot tall, that busted through the black asphalt and are pushing through. And then lots of dirt and trash everywhere.
Very sad the dirt and trash has been graffitied.
Yes.
Sad commentary.
And if you go to any outlying areas, like you get off the road just a little bit, you'll see a lot of old sofas and things where people dumped things. Lots of people dumping things
outlying
in
areas,
Los Angeles.
Like the alley behind my apartment?
Yeah.
One of these outlying areas.
Well, when I say outlying, I guess I mean off the road, but only 10 feet off the road.
Mm-hmm.
If you just drive up Mulholland and you turn right on a street that doesn't have any houses on it, or there's some space, every place there's some open space, just see a nice load of drywall or junk or sofas that are dropped out. Sometimes they stay there for months.
That's how I furnished my first apartment.
Oh. Now, what's going on is there's a lot of folks out here who do construction, let's say, and they do it on the cheap, and it costs $40 to go drive that stuff and dump it off legally down in Sun Valley. So here's a little patch of brush. I'll just dump it off here. Lots of trash in this city, I feel. I don't feel like we're on top of the aesthetic part of this city very much. Lots of, as you're driving up the freeway on ramps, lots of junk lying around, lots of trash. I'm not sure. I'd like to... I'll look into it. I have my suspicions as to what part of the problem is and what we could do about it, but we never really do get to it. One of the things we could do is possibly build that fence along the border.
Well, that's my take. When did the fence ever stop anybody?
Yes, fence.
Last time a fence stopped anybody.
Fences and torture, they've been going along since civilization arrived, but evidently neither one of them works.
Speaking of torture, I want to hear about your Seattle trip.
Yes. I went to Seattle. I left Burbank about 3 o'clock on Saturday. And I did that thing. I did that thing where I flew out first thing Sunday morning. Because I don't know how you guys are, but I don't like coming home from my whatever I have to do at night on Sunday night. That to me just feels like I'm going to go to bed and go to work.
Yeah.
I'd rather just suck it up and get up early and get out of there. And for me, if you've been out drinking and partying and pressing the flesh and taking pictures with everybody who has a cell phone and everybody's friend who doesn't know how to work their cell phone's camera, if you've been doing that till all hours of the night, is there a big difference between a 7:30 wake-up call and a 5:30 wake-up call? Either way, you're hungover, you're tired, you're out of it, and you're not going to remember the drive to the airport. Do you know what I'm saying? Those hungover, whatever. Like, look, it'd be one thing if you woke up at 5:30 and you're like, oh, Jesus, I'm going to puke. Or you woke up at 7:15 and you went, refreshed. I'm ready to work out before I go to the airport. I know I'm going to feel like crap. It's a degree of crap, but it's still crap. As I explain to people all the time, yes, T.
I was just going to say, more valuable to have that hour, hour and a half on the other side when you're home.
I concur. And I say to people all the time who want to make fun of us and what we do, because they know it's a cush gig. And so thus, you can make fun of this gig. See, if somebody works at a rendering plant, you can't go, oh, Christ. Like, if you say to somebody, what do you do? Oh, I work at a rendering plant. Oh, what time do you get up in the morning? 5:30? Whoa. I would kill myself. See, you'd never do that because they have a horrible job. We have a job where, hold your ears, Brian, we get paid decently, and all we do is this. We sit around and yap. We do the same thing I do with the guy who sits next to me on the airplane ride from Seattle. except for I don't get to drink three Bloody Marys. But the point is we have a good job. Thus, people get to say, oh, man, I'd kill myself if I had to get up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning. But the reality is, and I explain this to everyone, anytime your alarm goes off, it's a bad day. It just is. There is a buzzer that is going to wake you from a very sound sleep and tell you to get up and go somewhere and do something that even if you wanted to do it, you didn't want to do it then. It's not like, well, we get up at 4:30, but everyone else just, they just get up, catch can. Sometimes they'll get up at 8. Sometimes they'll get up at noon. They'll pull their pants on and go to work and wander in whatever they want. I explain to people, yes, I have an alarm clock. It goes off at 5 a.m. You have an alarm clock. It goes off at 7:10. And I guarantee when we both hear the initial sound of the alarm, we're both equally as miserable.
Right. How is 5 worse than 7 if you're being woken up prematurely?
You're always being woken up prematurely. Now, you get up and it's light outside, and that's not so bad. But then I get up and there's no traffic, so I get that one, and so on and so forth. But either way, the alarm goes off, you're miserable. And let me ask you this, speaking of the alarm going off. Hotel digital clocks, oftentimes off.
Yeah.
And oftentimes off by 8, 10, 12 minutes. And that will F you up a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I take it as the gospel because I don't wear a wristwatch, so I'll come back to my hotel room and I'll be like, oh, that's what time it is. And oftentimes someone's meeting you with the car or you're meeting Dr. Drew. You know, Dr. Drew, if you say you'll meet him in the lobby at 6:30 in the morning, if you're not there at 6:30 and 30 seconds, your cell phone will start ringing. Mm. If your clock's off 6 minutes one way or the other, you're either standing around the lobby or he's standing around the lobby. I did that thing. They're almost always off. They should be calibrated. They should have the maid should.
I think housekeeping would do that.
Should have to,
along with changing the sheets.
Yeah, they're always in the neighborhood at the right time. And how about this a-hole?
Close enough.
You ever have the alarm go off at like 5 a.m. when you're in a hotel and realize the clock alarm is set?
Yeah.
That's happened to me many times, and I say, no necesito with the clock alarm. You have a wake-up call.
Right.
Use it. I don't want you monkeying around with. And by the way, how long are you staying in that room where you start setting the presets and start working out the clock alarm and all? I can't figure out the one I have at home. All right. So anyway, I got up at the crack of dawn and I left Seattle. So when I got to Seattle, it was dark. And when I left Seattle, it was dark. Dark and drizzly. But great people over there and a great looking city.
Good turnout?
Yeah, and a great turnout at the event, and people were very flattering to me and the show. And the other thing is I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but the hotel I was at had a Ruth Chris Steakhouse in the lobby. And when you walked in, you didn't have to turn your head. You just walked into the hotel, and you're like, all right. And I didn't even turn my head. I'm just talking to the guy behind the counter like as a heterosexual, non-vegan male who was hungry, by the way, who hadn't eaten all day. I'm just talking to the guy behind the counter, and I'm like, so the sweets, is it pretty meaty? Is it the T-bone of... What the? I just, my mind started like permeating with meat, and I was
smoke
just
started going like this with the finger.
Yeah, the finger.
Calling you hither.
Right. And it hithered me. And all of a sudden, I just wanted a steak, and then I went up in my room, and I came down at 5 a.m. to go to the airport, and I wanted to like break in the place and make myself a steak. Boy, when you smell that stuff wafting over from, especially if you're anything close to hungry, I said to the guy behind the counter, I would go insane if I was working here. It'd be like or maybe I'd never eat steak again. I don't know which it would be, but the only thing better than eating a steak at a steakhouse is just outside of a steakhouse. Mm. There's something. I always have that door, you know, the big leather-bound wood, you know, mahogany, two big brass handles on it. You're thinking, inside of those doors lays some great things.
Let's get a steak.
I know.
Let's get a steak right now.
Did you ever get yourself one?
No, I didn't. I wasn't there. I got in at 7:30 at night. I dropped my bag off, hit the... That's a euphemism for masturbating.
Oh.
Dropped my bag off, jumped into the car, went to the event.
Also euphemism.
Came home from the event about midnight, and the car picked me up at 5:30. It was good times. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Mike. Mike?
Yeah, Adam.
What's happening?
Hey, man, what was her name?
What
the girl that dumped you, the Mexican girl that dumped you in high school that makes you hate Mexicans so much.
Oh, Flory Aguilar? I mean, I don't hate Mexicans. What are you talking about?
What happened with you and Flory?
Well, how are you blaming the trash on the side of the freeway on the Mexicans?
Yeah.
You said, oh, I know where we could take care
of. Oh, well, look, I'll tell you what it is, because it's a construction. It's basically, well, there's a couple things. First off, go to Mexico and tell me if you see any junk on any lawns. Number one. Number two, it's a construction-related thing for the most part. It's mainly poor people, but that's what we have out here. It's mainly a construction thing. You go do construction. You don't want to spend $40 to drive it down to Sun Valley and drop it off at a landfill, because that's cutting into your budget, and I understand it. So I'm doing the construction math, and thus I'm blaming our friends to the south.
Well, you'd be surprised how many white people are driving these gardening trucks as well these days. It's hard to get work, you know, and hard to pay for that dump.
No, it's not. Look, first off, no, I don't see any of those guys driving gardening trucks. But here's the thing. All the trash by the side of the road is not solely due to any one group. If I put a gun to your head, Mike, and I said, pick a group. Who's doing it? Who you picking? Asian, black, white, or Mexican?
I think everybody.
Okay, I got a gun under your head. See ya, buddy.
I'd say white because I'm Mexican.
I know, but seriously, you die just to say that? It's a construction thing. I love Mexicans. Don't get me wrong. I'm just honest about it. That's all.
And actually, I'm third generation American. I don't even know how to speak Spanish.
Yeah, mijo.
You know,
what are you doing, Mike?
What am I doing? I'm at home. I'm a musician. I play in the band The Gears. We've been around for 30 years in LA, punk band.
Wow. You guys are doing awesome, because I've heard of every punk band except for The Gears, and you guys have been around for 30 years.
Where do you play?
We're playing at Safari Sounds with Fear last month. We're playing Saturday the 23rd of this month. At the airliner.
Mm-hmm.
In Lincoln Heights. And actually, check it out on MySpace, The Gears, Los Angeles.
All right, brother. So there you go. Some love for the Mexicans.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
All right, Mike. Look, it's I'm doing a math, which is it's a construction gig. And that's the race that does the construction around here. I know it. I've worked with all these guys.
But you're not saying there's something inherent about Mexican people that makes them sloppy. You're saying in this area.
If you go to Mexico, let's just put it this way. Go to Mexico and take a look around.
Fair enough. But go to Appalachia and it doesn't look too good. And there's cars on blocks and the lawn. And those
are
all white people.
Well, let me explain something. There's two contributing factors. Actually, well, there's two, and poor's number one.
Poor is the number one nationality
for every problem we have.
Sure.
Poor is number one and number two and number three. Poor makes bad education. Poor makes bad lawns. Poor makes sofas being dumped on the sides of freeways. It's number one is poor. There's no doubt about that. But there are also cultural factors, I would say. I don't think Canadian poor and Mexican poor are the same poor. I don't know that all poors are the same. Some folks do a little more junk on the lawn. I'll give you an example. Let's pick another nationality. I'll pick an Asian nationality.
Okay.
There's a lot of poor Asians that come here. They have a strong sense of family, but a poor Asian family. Their homes are poor homes, and they're crappy homes, but they're neat in a certain sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've known a lot of poor people that are neat in a poor way.
Yeah.
And then there's let your freak flag fly. And Whitey is not a neat, poor guy. Mexico, cluttered. That's a junk on the lawn culture.
Right.
Whitey, poor, semi-junk on the lawn thing. Asian, poor, neat. I don't know. It's like they're cramped and used to living on top of each other, and thus they can't drag crap out on the lawn. I'm not sure. I haven't totally figured this out. But there's a kind of a neat poor, and then there's a kind of messy poor. But overall, poor is the ill.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Not the race, but the money behind the race. Yeah. Although it becomes a race when your country becomes poor. See, now we have a race of people that leave junk on the front lawn. And whether it's because they're from here or because they're just poor, well, it's a chicken or the egg. All right. We need to take more of your phone calls. I'm going to take more of your phone calls. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do it in How Say You next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and here's what's coming up this morning with the man who reigns over this radio empire, Program Director Jack Silver.
Check, check, check! They tried to make me go to rehab, peeps! Today, the crew gambles on the dorks of America in a new round of nerd walking! The best clips from last night's Grammy Awards! The Iceman goes berserk and last week in rage! Music Monday! And Ozzy reviews the number one movie in America, Fool's Gold! Oh man, what a sweet flick! Jackman saw it three times in the theater! I even pulled the old popcorn trick on myself! And what a surprise it was! Imagine the look on my face when I said to myself, hey, Jackman, that ain't butter! Leap!
Nice, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, let's keep the party going. Well, just to finish off what we were talking about before, the city being filthy. Tom?
Yeah, it's Tom.
What do you have to say, Tom?
Hey, we just moved here from California, and I heard you guys talk about trash on the road.
You're in Montana?
Yeah, and California's disgusting.
Oh, you say?
Trash all over the roads, couches in the middle of the street. And the closer you get to L.A., the worse it gets.
Yeah, it's filthy. It's a filthy, ugly, it's an ugly city. I mean, it has great topography and the vistas and the viewing and everything's great. But the city itself and the outlying areas as well are pretty filthy. I mean, just lots of graffiti, I guess you basically define it as unkempt in many areas. The whole freeway seems to be filthy in all the areas around it. And then again, when you there's always that feel good notion of living in a city where you pass freeway signs that have barbed wire around them. Again,
right.
Giving you that escape from New York feeling.
Yeah,
right.
And there are blocks of downtown that really look like Mad Max.
Yeah,
there are fires in the middle.
Yeah, I would. And again, you know. I heard Barack Obama speaking over the weekend, and he was, or at least they played the tape over the weekend of when he was speaking, and he was saying with the amount of money that we've spent in Iraq, we could rebuild every bridge, we could fill every pothole, we could fix every school, we could fix every hospital. And there's a part of me that initially goes, hey, yeah, that's right, that's right. And then there's another part of me that goes, do we really think that would have happened? We weren't in Iraq the 25 years before the last 5 years I was living in this city, and we saw plenty of potholes, plenty of sofas lying around, plenty of weeds everywhere, and plenty of graffiti everywhere. So evidently the money that went to Iraq that was siphoned off from the pothole, fixed the hospital and fixed the road fund didn't make it to the road fund in the first place. See, that's the whole thing about something like Iraq. I hate Iraq. I hate the waste of money. I'd love to see the utopia that we could create right here. But that money never seems to get used on these things. You know, Barack was saying, hey, man, we could do a ton for Homeland Security right here in this country. Right. But a year before we went into Iraq and wasted all the money, we smuggled spent uranium pellets through the port of L.A. Some news crew did it. And they said, well, we just don't have enough men. Well, that was before Iraq. How come we don't have enough men? Mm. I thought we had this whole don't we have a whole surplus of cash that was supposed to go to Iraq? But now we're going to put it in the ports? No, we don't have enough guys to work the ports of L.A. So I would love to go along with Barack, and I do theoretically and mathematically. The problem is practically, we never had that crap and never had the money for that crap before. And really, I don't know if we literally just print money when we start a war or if we just have a huge building somewhere in Washington, D.C. that's just packed with my tax money that's not being put back into my city. I don't know how it works. I really don't. But we never have that money for that stuff anyway.
Well, it works like your own household finances work. You go into a lot of debt, which we're in now.
Right.
And, you know, if you've ever been paying off a car, paying it off every month, and then when you pay the last payment, you think, I'm going to feel so rich now. I have an extra $600 every month. And
never
then where
happens.
Does it go?
Yeah, not into the potholes. We could get the potholes fixed faster and cheaper if they literally just wadded up my tax money and pushed them into the potholes. And then took my $10 bills and wiped the graffiti off all the signs.
Good idea.
This is why I don't like Villaraigosa, because this town still looks like crap. Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, Montana, you don't have that problem?
No, there's no garbage on the side of the road. I don't know, it seems like they take more care of the state. Of course, there's only 900,000 people in the state.
Not densely populated.
But here's the other problem. Thank you, Tom. Here's the other problem. Take care of the state. Right. There's people who live in Montana are proud to live in Montana. When I go to Seattle, people are proud to live in Seattle. In Los Angeles, we're just squatting the place. It's a rental car. We're going to see what happens when rolling forward at 8 miles an hour, if we try to put it in reverse, let's see what happens. That's what we're doing to this city.
And you always leave your wrappers in the rental car. It's not your car.
It's not your car. This is not your city. How many people are here or from here? How many people here were born and bred here? That's right. Couple of crickets. And the other people that came here from other places, they're either trying to make it as actors, but making it as waiters or singles or whatever, or they're from some country where they're sending their paychecks back to that country. I mean, they're not here to make this place look better. They're here to use it, make some money, send some money back, and start a new life, but that new life doesn't involve you cleaning up stuff or looking after your own city. All right. It's an ugly city. All I'm saying is let me ask you a hypothetical about Los Angeles. Mm. Tax-wise, have you ever paid more and gotten less for something? Public transportation. No football team. Garbage everywhere. How's the school systems? Anybody I know who makes 2 shekels to rub together would never dream of sending their kids to L.A. Unified School District. So, as far as the plans, as far as the monorails running through the beautiful downtown L.A., as far as the programs and the jobs and that kind of stuff, as far as just the general overall look of the city, the recycling, the sports, the nightlife, the downtown, whatever it is, have you, and again, the schooling, have you ever paid more for something and gotten less out of it than L.A.?
Well, they do take my trash after I put it in the dumpster and wheel it out to the curb.
Right, but God forbid the thing should be turned at 90 degrees, because if the thing isn't facing Mecca, the trash can guy will keep going. And my feeling is, hey, you're garbage man. Get your lazy ass the F out of the truck and fix the effing trash can. I've had this happen 1,000 times where the can gets dragged out, but the can is not facing the exact right direction so the mechanized arm can get it. Right. Look, here's the deal. Right on the application for garbage man, it should say, do you mind getting your fat ass the F out of a truck? If you check that box and say yes, then you're out. I don't want you. And look, the word garbage is right in your title. I'm blue collar. I'm not one of these guys who has to be all proud. I'm not some effing politician who grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth and has to pretend to like all the blue collar workers. These guys are hard. BS. You garbage men get paid way too much.
Hold on, careful.
You get paid as much as school teachers, for the love of Christ, and you're borderline retarded. Get your ass out of the truck and get my trash can. Just go get it.
Come from a long line of garbage men.
You do?
That's not a joke. My grandfather and my uncle. But that was a proud profession.
Your grandfather, first off, rode on the backside of the outside of the truck, sucking up carbon monoxide.
It's a proud profession.
Yeah.
They wore a huge bib, a huge leather bib, like they were at a slaughterhouse or something. They had the big gloves on, and the guy jumped out. He took
overnight.
The can.
Worked overnight, too.
That's right.
Like 8 a.m. wake-up calls. They were done by 6 a.m.
I think that pays pretty well now.
It did in the days. I'm sure
something
it pays
like
well
60
now.
60 in there?
Probably. Look, it's as much as school teachers. It's as much as many people with 4-year degrees, at least, that are working in the corporate world. The garbage guys get paid. And I'm not one of these idiots who goes, yeah, I know, those guys work. Everyone works hard. These guys barely have GEDs. Get out of the goddamn truck. And then I'm insulted when people go, Hey, you want them to pick up that stuff? Like, because once in a while, God forbid, something doesn't make it into the big plastic receptacle, so you just put a bag of leaves or hefty bag or something. Oh, they won't pick that up.
No.
They won't. Oh, no. Yeah. I just pay $1 million in taxes. Why should I believe that someone would get out of the truck, name a garbage man, and throw it in the back of the effing truck? And then people do this one, too. They go, hey, you know what you do? You give the guy $20. $20? I gave $1 million last year. Now I got to grease the guy's palm. Hey, trash man, come here, buddy. Hey there, thanks for the love. I do that handshake where I'm giving it to like the maitre d'.
You got
to
fold it up.
Hey,
in the palm
buddy,
of your hand.
Thanks a ton. And then who else's palm do I have to grease? The cop for coming over to my house after it's been broken into. The firemen for coming over when it's on fire. Hey, school teacher, you're doing an awesome job with the times tables. With it, come here. Let me give you a love, buddy. And he's wearing a bow tie and tails. And I'm like, hey, thanks for the love, bro. And he offers me a little Grand Marnier to sip afterward. Now, I'm not going to grease everyone's palm. Guess whose palm I'm greasing? I'm greasing the tax man's palm. Get the F out of the truck.
It's the same as a restaurant. Like, keep the kid away from the door. Don't give this kid a seat in the door.
Yeah, not too close to the kitchen.
Keep his hot lunch hot.
Oh, for the love of Christ. Yes, this city sucks. You've never given more and gotten less.
It's very depressing to look around and see the graffiti and the barbed wire. But as I've said, it's not just an aesthetic problem. It communicates. Criminals see broken glass and graffiti and they think this is where the crime happens.
Yeah, we're open for business.
Right.
All right.
It's weird to try and explain to out-of-towners, too, how there's no real public transportation. Like, oh, we'll just take the subway downtown and then to Disneyland. And then the Holly's like, nah, you're not really going to do that from where I live or anyone who lives anywhere
else. Yeah, I'm going to have to drive your ass everywhere. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Ed. Ed?
Hey, Adam?
Ed, how say you, my brother?
Hey, all right. I was over at my buddy's house this weekend on a Saturday, and we were messing around on the internet, and his first offering for a video to watch is a guy cutting off his own Pepe, which I politely declined.
Yeah.
Second one was a guy goes by the name of a Jigaboo Jones, and he's out showing people, oh, this is how you go to Disneyland. People leave their strollers out, and they,
wait a second. Is this Jones fella, is he a white guy or black guy?
I think he was Eskimo. No, he was black. He was black.
All right. Not sure if that makes it better or worse. I think better, but keep going.
He was, showing this, and in today's world, you know, that with YouTube and stuff, videos like that, they make it far, wide, and they get there fast.
Well, let me ask this. I feel the same way. Like, I'll go over to some guy's computer, and it'll be like, hey, what do you want to see first? You want to see the kickboxer got the compound fracture of his femur? Or would you like to see the guy cut his schwanz off? Or what I've done is I've mashed up the guy cutting his schwanz off with two girls in a cup, so they got a sippy straw. And I'm like, hold on. There's a couple things I'd like to do that are still on my docket for today. Eat and masturbate. Not in that order. But my point is both things are going to be difficult to achieve with what's on your monitor. What is that, by the way? I understand where you have to feel a little better about yourself by what happened to other people, and somehow their lot in life's a little bit worse than yours. But do you really have to see a guy get his ding-a-ling cut off? And doesn't that just hurt your ding-a-ling? And what about the people that want to see that? And I understand morbid curiosity. I understand when you hear about some story about Jeffrey Dahmer and they go, you'll leave it on. Jesus Christ, how many people? Oh, my God. Like, you'll do a little of that. But there was video footage of him eating one of his male prostitutes. Would you really want to see that? And after a while, doesn't your head just get filled with that? And then your head becomes the Los Angeles City freeway system. Your head just becomes a long, long two-lane highway filled with graffiti and barbed wire and sofas in the medium. Doesn't it just become that? And then once it becomes that, aren't you as good as dead? I mean, don't you want to close your eyes and see a nice 17-mile drive in Pebble Beach? The ocean on one side, million-dollar homes on the other, palms swaying in the breeze. Isn't that what you want to see when you close your eyes? Don't you want to see kittens and puppies and, you know what I'm talking about?
I do, although the other night I watched Dr. Bodden on HBO.
Yeah, I don't miss that either.
I don't mind. They had a lot of very graphic photos of Kennedy's head after it had been blown off, and I don't mind that.
Well, a couple things. Grainy, sometimes black and white from a good distance. I mean, that was not that graphic. And then furthermore, you're part of history.
Right.
In a certain sense, you're examining history.
Sure.
Like, I'd watch Lincoln getting shot. Peter?
Yeah.
You have a master degree in your garbage man?
Actually, no, not quite. I have a master's degree and I'm a teacher.
Mm.
And, garbage men in the district that I work in, garbage men do make more, man.
What are they pulling? Do you know?
Oh, it's got to be somewhere around 65, something like that.
And let me just say a few things. Okay. First off, people do that. Hey, man, that's tough work. Hey, man, I did tough work for $7 an hour my whole life. Every guy working on a construction site, every guy building something, every guy who's ever really worked in this country, as a matter of fact, 99.9% of the work done up until this day has been tough work.
Absolutely.
So, of course, it's tough work. You don't get paid that much for tough work. That's part of what makes it tough. So the tough work argument doesn't mean anything to me because in your world, coal miners should get paid more than CEOs of companies. I understand it's tough work. That's why you want to get out of it. I'm just saying get the F out of the truck and get my hefty bag of leaves. God damn it.
Do they need any special skills, garbage men?
No, they need nothing. They just drive around in a truck and they make $65,000 a year and they make more than school teachers. And we've decided, here's why garbage men have gotten a break in our society. All politicians, all people that have a couple nickels to rub together, the white man, he uses them as the example. And nobody wants to crap on the hardworking example. But the reality is those guys get paid twice as much as they should get paid. Look, cops, firemen, teachers, garbage men. Garbage men probably land somewhere in the middle of all those people. Now think about the education. Think about putting your life on the line versus you sitting in a truck with your earbuds in and not getting my big box of junk off my lawn.
So let me get this straight, because last week teachers were the real heroes. Who is it now? Is it garbage men?
Taxpayers are the real heroes. The effing people that pay you people that call yourself heroes.
Thank you.
Those are the real heroes. Now get to my goddamn house and do what I tell you to do. Jesus Christ. I'm your boss. That's the way I look at it. None of you are heroes. I'm the hero for paying your ass. And I'm barely getting a nickel on my dollar in this godforsaken city. I'm the hero, and I want the graffiti cleaned up. I'm the hero, and I want you to get out and pick up the bag in front of my house. I'm the hero, and I want the cops for more than writing chicken-ass tickets. You understand? I'm the hero. Now get to work. T?
Taxpayers are the real heroes.
Thank you.
That really resonates with me.
Thank you. All right, T, we're going to do a little nerd walking, do believe.
Yeah.
Lots of good calls. Sorry I didn't get to them, but I got fired up. Who won out? Board Op Bill?
No. This was Mike Chaffee, editor Mike Chaffee, who went to the writer's strike. Picket lines.
Ah, spoke to nerds. Do we have a tease?
In fact, we do.
Which position does Alex Rodriguez currently play?
A little baseball trivia. So asking the smart guys manly questions.
Putting my undefeated record on the line here?
Oh, are you undefeated?
Oh, yes.
Jesus Christ, he's undefeated in everything, do you understand?
Yeah. I know.
Remember I said he was smart?
Yeah.
All right. We'll take ourselves, maybe I wasn't smart for letting him play things. We'll take a quick break, back with Nerd Walking next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Good news, the writer's strike is almost over, but we took one more chance to go out and talk to the nerds in the picket line for another round of Nerd Walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's get it on. Everyone's got $20 they're putting up.
Yep.
Let's do ourselves some nerd walking.
Nerd walking.
Nerd. Mike wants to know if you've heard that he's a big loser nerd. You are all virgins. It's time for nerd walking, 'cause you are nerds.
Nerds.
Well, writers are notoriously nerdy, unless they're like Hemingway. You know, they're either hard-drinking, hard-loving, fist-fighting guys, or they're super nerds.
Yeah, hard-drinking or hard-nerding.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they live to the extreme.
Well, Brian, who considers himself a nerd, maybe has his thumb on the pulse of all nerds.
Oh, I'm the only one that considers myself a nerd.
You, yes, all the
people,
everything with a vagina. All right, so he has won the last few times we've played. Let's see if me and T can get back in this game. First question, please.
Which position does Alex Rodriguez currently play?
All right, now let's see. Shortstop Yankees, right? They got him short. Third base?
Jeter plays shortstop.
Oh, Jeter's there, right. Yeah.
Somebody had to switch positions, right? in the Yankees.
He did.
Yeah.
He played shortstop for Texas.
Here's
what. Oh,
here's
that's
the
why
thing.
I thought it was a shortstop. That alone makes it good enough for
that
me.
That makes it good. Plus,
although baseball players, baseball fans are nerds.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they like statistics.
Right.
How about the guys who keep score? You know that thing where like Vin Scully's always like, and if you're keeping score at home, I want it so much.
Yeah, if you're scoring at home.
Listen, I'd be like, if you're sober and you're at home, you should kill yourself. And I love it when it's preseason Dodgers on the AM. Hey, Vin Scully from Vero Beach. Hey, if you're keeping score at home, that's a 165. That's a double play. It's, first off, it doesn't even, there's 165 games. There's 20 of them that don't count before we get to the long funeral dirge known as the baseball season that lasts 13 months. And you're keeping score at home?
They never do that for basketball. If you're charting your shots at home, it's a 25-footer he just missed from the baseline.
Right. They're not... The guy's playing in his Dodger jersey, but he's wearing Dockers. All right? He's wearing jeans. It's that casual a game. And the catcher's doing that thing where he just leans over and holds the mitt underhand. He's not even in a full squat, and we're keeping score at home. All right, where were we?
Does the nerd know which position A-Rod plays?
I say no.
You mean he does not know?
Yeah, we have to clear this up.
What are we accepting? What are we accepting? Third and short or just third?
Ooh.
Currently plays third.
Currently is, that's very clear. We got to only take what he currently plays.
All right, well, if he currently plays third, I will say he does not know.
There are so few positions in the infield, it would be easy for him to guess and answer correctly.
Smart. Mm. Smart. Wouldn't be first base, for sure.
I will say, I will agree with you and say he doesn't know.
Ooh,
Bald Brian.
I'll say he does know. Baseball, no, excuse me, writers are nerds. Writers like, nerds like fantasy sports. No sport is better suited for fantasy sports than baseball.
And, yes, they do a lot of fantasy because writers are supposed to be writing at their computer all day, but they're really checking their...
On top of that... Now they're out of work.
All right, let's do it.
Which position does Alex Rodriguez currently play?
Who's Alex Rodriguez?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. All right, 1-0 for me and T. Let's do the next one.
Other than Colt and Smith & Wesson, name one gun manufacturer.
Very interesting.
Those are the only two I can think of. Do you know others off the top of your head?
I think Glock.
Glock,
Browning. I don't follow it that closely, but there's probably a few.
And who knows? They could write on a crime show.
Yeah. Writers are good at research. They would have come up with this at some point in their lives.
What do you think, Bald Brian?
He's gonna pull one out. Yes, he knows. He knows another one besides...
Knows. T?
Yeah.
I'm going to say doesn't know.
Doesn't know. Wow, this is tough. I probably would have gone along any direction you guys both agreed on just to kind of stay in first place, but now we got a split. Does know, doesn't know. I'm going to say does know for some odd reason. Me and Brian say do know. T says doesn't. What do we got?
Other than Colt and Smith & Wesson, name one gun manufacturer.
Winchester.
That's right.
No.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice job.
Yes.
Well, they are smart guys.
Yeah.
All right. T, 1-1. Ace Man, 2-0. Bald Brian, 1-1. Let's keep it going.
Which Sports Hall of Fame is located in Springfield, Massachusetts?
Huh. Let's see. Huh? Springfield, man. Huh?
That's basketball. Yeah,
oh, it's
there.
Basketball. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that one. Let's see. All right. I'm going to say doesn't know. But again, very tough with the sports, with the nerds, because lots of computer and lots of time on the computer and very statistically oriented. But I don't think basketball's on their list of things to do. It seems more baseball, football for the nerds. T?
I agree, but you basically are choosing between baseball and basketball. It's a 50-50. I'll say he does know.
I say doesn't. T says does. Bald
I say,
Brian.
As my grandfather used to say, the old garbage man, nerds of a feather flock together. And if that first guy didn't know anything about baseball, didn't even know who A-Rod was, he's not going to know.
Is it the same nerd for sure?
Even if it's not, if they're in the same area.
Oh,
can I say this quickly about garbage? The ultimate shame to your family, which happened to the Corollas a few times, because trash cans were around for 400 years before somebody... The trash can was around for 400 years, and the wheel was around for 4 million years, but nobody could figure out to put wheels on the trash can for the first 400 years trash cans were around. Again, it's one of my... I'm going to write a book called This Is How I Know We're Stupid.
Yeah.
We would drag those cans, and by the way, the metal corrugated steel ones along the asphalt of the long screwed-up driveway had just make the sparks coming out, weird juices flowing out of the bottom, leaving that bad hash mark all the way down the driveway. But eventually, our cans would get so bad that the garbage man would do what we couldn't do, which was toss the entire can into the crusher. And that's the ultimate shame. I mean, that's when it's time to take a good hard look in the mirror as a family. When you go out, when the mom says, son, go out and get the trash cans and drag them back behind the house. And you go, there are no trash cans. You've been shamed by the city. That is like having your children taken away from you. That is essentially the city doing what you couldn't bring yourself to do. That is the city taking Old Yeller behind the woodshed and putting a single bullet in its head. That's what it was. We had our garbage cans collected by the garbage man many times, because at a certain point when the bottom is falling out and the handles are busted off, they can't pick them up anymore.
I know, but they only invented wheels like five or 10 years ago.
There were wheels on, you know, you go in the 70s, you go to someone's house and you'd see a little mobile little bar, little cocktail thing, and that had little wheels on it. There's little wheels on everything except for the 90-pound thing stuffed with garbage that you would have to drag 200 feet down your dirt driveway. That, no wheels. And so every week I would drag those metal, just drag them down while sparks came out.
Wheels are coming off the nerd walking wagon.
I'm sorry, but I got started. All right, let's hear the...
Did you guys put your guess in?
The Sports Hall of Fame?
Oh, what the hell? Sports Hall of Fame. I say no. Teresa says yes. Bald Brian says...
No, he does not know.
No. Two no's and a yes. Let's hear it.
Which Sports Hall of Fame is located in Springfield, Massachusetts?
Football?
What?
I'm gonna go with football.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now 3-0. Ace Man 3-0, Bald Brian 2-1, T 0-0-1 or 1-2. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Nerd Walking. T tease the news, baby girl.
You remember this guy?
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
I don't think that's the way to start the Fox broadcast, by the way, the Super Bowl, but, you know, to each their own.
We won't be broadcasting for a while. I'll tell you why. And also, we'll hear a little from Amy Winehouse at the Grammys last night.
All right. Grecian formula ran out of their rust color.
Was that the best to snort?
That's the best. That's my... We'll take a quick break. Back with the news. Rest of Nerd Walking next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show, and coming up this morning, we'll count down the top five things that pissed Adam off last week on Last Week in Rage.
You still could be funny!
We'll go over last night's Grammy Awards.
And the Grammy goes to...
And it's Music Monday. Since we're going to the Playboy Mansion tomorrow night for the NBC Knight Rider launch party, we thought we'd play you some of the best and worst TV themes of all time. Oswaldo reviews the movie Fool's Gold.
It's very funny.
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
When you're trying to pleasure yourself, you might, it help, you know.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? You can stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
Good times.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, here we are. A little more nerd walking to go before we get to the news. It's nerve-wracking. I love the news, so I want to get this over with. Bald Brian, 2-1. Ace Man, 3-0. T, 1-2. Let's do one more question and then a possible tiebreaker before we go to the news. Here we go.
Finish this phrase. The 101st blank division.
Has to know this, I'd say.
We're not doing best of five then. We're doing best out of four?
I don't know. All right, let's do best out of five.
Anything to win, right?
Yeah. Wait, 101st...
Airborne, right?
Oh, Airborne. Oh, I'm sorry.
Even I know that.
Well, even you.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm not sure if I should be in gay walking or nerd walking. I had to think about that. 101st blank division. Bald Brian, how say you?
It seems like everyone should know this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say no. Doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Doesn't know. T-Bone?
Yep.
Are you waiting for me?
No, I already said I think he does know.
Does know. I'm going to say doesn't just based on my own whatever. Two no's, Bald Brian and I. One yes, says Teresa Strasser. Let's see if she can get back in this game.
Finish this phrase. The 101st blank division.
101st Airborne.
Oh, man. Now, T, where's that get you? I got...
not far.
I got one strike. Let's see. Bald Brian has a and an O, and then T's got herself...
two and two, I think.
Two and two. Wow. Right. Okay. Doink, doink, and doink. I'm trying
to
keep
track
here.
So T and I are one behind you.
That's right. All right, going into the last one.
At the time of his retirement, which team did Wayne Gretzky play for?
I'm going to say... Well, I know you're waiting on me.
Yeah, I got him.
Technically, we should just write these down, but I'm going to say doesn't know.
There's no way he knows, but I got to go opposite and say if he says the city, maybe he'll know it.
I'm going to say doesn't. T, you say doesn't as well.
Yeah, I don't think he knows, but I think I have to go against you because you're ahead, right?
Right. So I say doesn't know.
And we have to say knows.
All right.
At the time of his retirement, which team did Wayne Gretzky play for?
He's retired?
Oh, here you go.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
It was a good win.
Now, did he finish up his career with the Kings?
No, New York Rangers.
That's right. So that was a tough question.
Your first
because
loss,
I thought
Brian.
It was Kings. All right, buddy. Pay up.
Nice job.
Nerd.
Awkward when I had to decide whether to extract the $20 from the guest we played with last week. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I couldn't do it.
Now I know how my best friend Tom Brady feels.
Your BFF?
All right. Let's push forward, T.
Yeah.
And do some news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
The moment everyone was looking forward to at last night's 50th annual Grammy Awards was probably Amy Winehouse singing live from London. She ended up being granted a visa to travel to the United States after all, but by the time that happened, it was too late for her to make the trip, so she did indeed perform live via satellite from London. She actually looked really good. She performed well, too.
Did she do that song of hers that sounds like the song from the 60s?
She did two songs. She did You Know Right. I'm No Good.
And then she did Sally Go Round the Roses, which
exactly.
is this song.
She's calling it Rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And she sang well. And both of her songs have shout-outs to her incarcerated husband, Blake Fielder Civil. She picked up 5 of the 6 Grammys she was nominated for.
Hey, can I ask this? Am I just not looking into her close enough? It feels like, this is just from the cheap seats. She has one hit that I'm aware of.
Yeah. It's, the other song she did, I think you have that, Brian. She opened with it, You Know I'm No Good. I thought it was great.
The one hit she has, or at least that I'm aware of, sounds like 3 hits from the 60s. So I'm not that impressed, but maybe she's amazing and I'm just not aware of it.
You know, I couldn't help but think, you look at Carrie Underwood, and she's totally polished. She has a beautiful voice, but there's nothing broken. There's no soul.
Yeah.
And she's not that compelling, even though I love her stupid song.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you look at Amy Winehouse, and you can't take your eyes off of her.
Yeah. This is why I don't like robot music versus real music.
Right.
I like to see that someone has, you know, I don't want to see some 11-year-old kid talking about loving and losing. I want to talk about singing about Winds of Change when you're 12 and Lily White. I want to see that a guy that's been beaten down by cop and been dumped by a few chicks.
Blue, you know what I'm saying?
Boy! That's right. I want to see Lou, or Blue, I mean.
Well, here she is accepting the Grammy via satellite from London for Best Record.
Thank you to everyone at Island Records, everyone at EMI Music Publishing, to Ray Ray and Joe, 10 years this year, Ray Ray and Joe, to Mark Ronson and Salam Remy, to my mum and dad, for my Blake incarcerated, and for London, this is for London, because Camden Town ain't burning down.
Couldn't understand the end after 5 listens.
No. She said something about burning down Camden Town or something like that. But anyway.
It looked like her mom was there. She was hugging her mom. She hugged all her backup singers. It was it was compelling. The most shocking part of the night, album of the year.
Yeah.
I was not expecting who won to win.
So she was the big winner. She goes 5 for 6, and now the 6 category comes up, arguably the biggest category, and what happens?
Well, I mean, was it going to be the Foo Fighters or some of these other groups you'd heard? No. Herbie Hancock for an album called River, the Joni Letters.
Yeah.
Couldn't go anywhere in OSM without hearing the Herbie Hancock record.
Did you know Herbie Hancock had an album of Joni Mitchell songs?
I was in my room unpacking a suitcase. My girlfriend says, hey, who's Herbie Hancock?
And oh,
I'm
really?
Like, I'm like, oh, he's this guy from the 80s, a semi-obscure artist. He had like one hit, sort of experimental electronics. Like, he won Record of the Year. I'm like, no, he won like experimental, crazy, cool
right.
jazz record. No, he won the big Album of the Year award. I'm like, this is why I don't watch the Grammys. They're completely out of touch, and they award things like the three tenors and Herbie Hancock.
Well, and also, they get a little confused sometimes in the rock category. I feel like there's a lot of blue hairs trying to figure out who's rocking this year, or maybe they're not that many good rock acts anymore. The Foo Fighters are a good rock band, but
yeah,
then
they played.
Everyone else, all right.
They played live. I thought it was, usually the Grammys are incredibly boring. I thought it was a great show. There was a duet between Kid Rock and Keeley Smith. They did that old Black Magic. Surprisingly mm-hmm. good. Tina Turner and Beyonce did a duet. And then Morris Day and the Time came out.
Yeah.
Morris Day still looks pretty good and still can dance.
Yeah, black don't crack, baby.
Right? Rihanna was out there doing her thing with Morris Day. We're going to get in more of that later in our Grammy recap. You'll especially want to hear Kanye West's speech.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he becomes incensed when he can't speak for as long as he wants.
Sure.
You know, his mom died, and why should other people have a chance to speak?
Oh, my God. His mom gave him a sense of entitlement that can never be broken.
You will not believe this speech. And then, surprisingly, somebody from the country music world really gave him the smackdown when he won during his speech. I'll play you all that when we go over the Grammys. But meanwhile, Barack Obama. Great day yesterday. He won a Grammy.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. For an auto book, The Audacity of Hope.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And also, the Democratic presidential hopeful won his party's caucuses in the state of Maine.
Hmm.
Obama coasted to another easy victory over his nearest rival, Senator Hillary Clinton.
You know who's elated by that news?
Who?
The big swinging black caucus.
mm-hmm. They must be... I think they're getting more members. I mean, if you go
they're
to
swelling.
One of their meetings, it's
yeah.
engorged.
They are. Their tumescence numbers are off the charts.
Yeah, he also scored victories over Clinton in Louisiana, Nebraska, and Washington State. So
yeah, there was a time when the Black Caucus was hanging their heads low.
Right.
You know?
Now,
didn't feel like they were part of the fray, but now.
They're up.
Oh, man, they are up.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton sat down on the Today Show. To explain what role he'll play if his wife Hillary becomes president.
Well, I will do what I'm asked to do. I will not be in the cabinet. I will not be on the staff full time. I will not in any way interfere with the work of a strong vice president, a strong secretary of state, strong secretary of treasury. I will do what we've always done for each other. I will let her bounce ideas off of me. I'll tell her what I think. You know, we'll talk through things. And I'll be available for whatever specific assignments seem right. You know, I'd do that for President Bush. I think once you've been president, you incur a lifetime obligation to America and to the next president, whoever it is of whatever party, to do whatever you're asked to do if you can do it in good conscience. So obviously, if Hillary wants me to do things, I will.
Yeah. Here's how it's going to work. We're just going to walk into the Oval Office. He's going to have his feet up. He's going to be talking to Hugo Chavez. And Hillary's going to come walking in the Oval Office, and he's going to do that thing with his coffee mug when he wants a warm-up. See? Like that thing you do with the waitress when you see her out of the corner
right.
of your eye, but you don't want to break the conversation that you're having with the guy on the table.
Yeah.
And then
need a warm-up.
Yeah.
Well, if his feet are up, at least you'll know where they are.
Good point.
It's important in his case. The Insider co-host Pat O'Brien is back in rehab. According to a statement posted on the entertainment show's website, O'Brien has, quote, entered a rehabilitation facility for treatment. It
mm-hmm.
goes on to say O'Brien and his doctors felt this is the best course for maintaining his sobriety. O'Brien, who turned 60 on Thursday, first enrolled in rehab in 05, saying at the time, I have had a problem with alcohol. Overcoming this problem is a top priority in my life. Around that time, a string of sexually graphic voicemail messages allegedly featuring O'Brien's voice made the rounds on the internet.
I didn't get what the big deal with that was. I mean, he's not a politician. attention. He's not Walt Disney. He's just a guy who does entertainment report, and he did sports. He did sports and entertainment. Look, the guy's single. He's drunk. He's trying to bang some intern. What's the big deal? I know it's humiliating. I don't like when things make the rounds because they're humiliating. I think that made the rounds because it was humiliating. There's certain things that are news and humiliating. Mm-hmm. That was just humiliating. Well, who cares what Pat O'Brien does?
It's against most corporate policies to call a coworker, especially a subordinate. And
I disagree.
Oh, I'm not judging. I'm
yeah,
only
but still.
Reporting.
I think you have some of those voicemails.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, here's something.
Sexy. I want to go crazy with you. So, I want to go crazy with you.
That was Rich Eisen he called.
That's the beauty. The beauty of booze is you'll start every conversation with that.
Right.
You call your mom drunk. You call your pool man when you're drunk. You call a camp counselor or the guy who does your tax prep work.
You lean over to the McDonald's.
You'll start off with like, I'll call my tax guy. Let me. Like, hey, Nate. There's some. I got 10.99. I want to f you, man. but I did get 10.99 when I did. I did. Remember that gig in Vegas? Hey, man, what do you want? Hey, I'm gonna. Can I? I know I can. I know the twins are dependents, but what about Molly? Is she? I want to f you so bad right now. That's really what booze does.
It's awkward when you're calling your mom.
It does.
You got to return her call.
Hey, Mom, Wednesday doesn't look good for the twin. What are you wearing? I'm going to vomit. I can't even pretend. You do. I mean, look, it's like Joe Namath on the sideline. Wow. And they're like, hey, what do you think of the Jets? I just want to kiss you right now. Look, that's what happens when you get loaded. That's why you can't get. Now, that's why I've said for years I want a breathalyzer built into the phone.
Yeah. You get in a lot of trouble drinking and dialing.
Oh, my God. Look, whether you're ordering pizza or hookers or just calling an intern and leaving it. By the way, as far as the message about wanting to F, don't you want to do that face to face or at least when they're on the other line?
I think she was in the next room. Do you have another?
Yeah, there's one more.
Yeah. He wants his girlfriend to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was trying to broker a three-way.
Oh, I see. You can't blame a drunk guy for trying to broker a three-way.
It's not that often you're in a position to broker a three-way.
The other thing too, is... I don't know.
It seems like every day.
This could be just my family, but that part where people call your message machine, which you don't own anymore because it's either through your cell phone or through your landline service and do that... Hey, bro, pick up. If you're there, pick up. Is that about 10 years old to pick up? I'm not hovering around. I don't have a... I'm not hovering around my cell phone listening to your message. Hey, bro, if you can hear me, pick up. I feel like maybe this is just my family, but everyone's a little late on that. That's very 90s, very mid, late 90s. There's no more pickup anywhere. Like, or it is.
I think anyone I know has ever said that.
I think 100 years from now, people will still be doing that thing where they pull up to a stop sign. They want to talk to the car next to them. So they do the roll the window. Roll the window. Hey, dude, roll the window. Hey, pick up. Pick up. Pick. I feel like the Corollas will be doing the roll the window down and the pickup thing well into the next millennium.
Well, Pat O'Brien, last time he got out of rehab.
Roll the window down.
Oh, wait, I got an idea. Wait, so your breathalyzer thing, if they can do it with cars, they have to be able to do it with telephones,
phones.
Right?
Oh, hell to the yes.
But wait a minute. You can pitch this later in the week when we're having Billy Mays on later in the week.
Ooh.
Billy Mays can actually get this done.
The guy draws his beard on with a Sharpie.
Right. He does the ding king. He does the kaboom.
I got to tell you, I don't know the toll that it's taken on families. Pat O'Brien is one of the many people. Again, I said I've had my buddies call. I told you last week I had my buddy call over a prostitute and then call over a backup prostitute and then call the cops. And when the pimp got the shotgun and then the second prostitute showed up after the cop showed up. Now, that was all drunk dialing.
Right.
all drunk dialing.
What do you set your phone to? 0.08? 0.8, I mean, like driving? Or do you set a little higher? Because you could probably get away with two drinks and still have a normal phone conversation.
Well, here's what I would say. There's also the problem when you get really loaded and your house catches on fire and you have to call 911 and you're sloppy drunk.
Yeah.
And then there's also the one where you're really loaded and you want to call one of your buddies and tell him to pick up a 12-pack before he comes over for the Super Bowl party, not going anywhere. So let me say this. First off, I would set it to a timer.
Okay.
If I had a nice buzz, and if it was like Sunday at noon and I had a nice buzz, I think I should be able to make a phone call then. That's what I'm feeling. You know what I mean? What you don't want is the 2 a.m. Tuesday night super buzz.
Yeah.
But here's what I would propose. If you blow and if you're buzzed, you can still make a call, but you have to leave it in the form of a message and the machine must review it.
Oh.
And if they hear prostitute or pizza, they'll hang up, or your ex-girlfriend's name. What you'll do when you're sober is you go ahead and program it.
Yeah,
so
put
if
in
you're
all
here,
the names.
Sheila or Domino's, or I'd like a date, or anything like
Jade.
That. Any, we'll put in some code words in there, like pepperoni,
Mystique,
and things like that. And if you hear any of them, now if you hear fire department, go right ahead.
Right. And it probably should. We shouldn't enable 900 numbers at all.
Right.
When
good point.
Drunk.
Good point.
Because that could go on and on. And you wake up with a phone bill you don't understand.
Good point. Yeah. All right.
Good news for the writers.
Hmm.
Yep, striking Hollywood writers could be back on the job soon after a tentative deal was reached last night after a bitter 3-month-long strike that essentially shut down TV and film productions. WGA members will vote on the contract proposal tomorrow. If all goes as planned, writers could be back to work by the middle of this week.
You want to know who the real winners are?
Who?
The wives of the writers. Because these guys are miserable, they're getting fatter by the day, and they have no hobbies. The whole reason you write for a living is because you don't like going outdoors. See, the blue-collar guys, they're chock full of hobbies. They just never get to their hobbies.
Right.
The writer guys I know, their hobbies are usually travel, reading, writing, playing crossword puzzles and stuff. Their hobbies are things you do on long flights.
Yeah.
You like to watch movies, you like to play crosswords, and you like to read magazines. But they don't have hobbies. See, the blue-collar guys I know, if they're out of work, they're just going to go to work on that old pickup truck that's been sitting in their garage that they haven't gotten to. These guys just putz around the house, getting fat, walking in a circle, making their wives miserable. All right, T.
Of course, a lot of them are women these days.
Tell you what I'd like to do. Writing? This is good stuff. Sweetie, we need to take a break. How about you pop your shoes off? I'll impregnate you and you get in the kitchen and rattle them pots and pans. I want to do the rest of the news when we come back from this break. Here's a little Herbie Hancock, everybody.
Yeah.
Who's Herbie Hancock, she said?
Oh, he did an amazing piano duet. They did, what's the Gershwin song?
Rhapsody in Blue?
Yes. And it was Herbie Hancock playing virtuoso from a Chinese orchestra or something. He was playing. It was phenomenal.
The Grammys have finally decided they need to be entertaining. And I do feel like in the last 2.5 years, award shows have finally caught on that they're a show and they're a 3.5-hour show and they need to actually be entertaining.
And they did not pander to the tweens.
Right.
It was actually music that I knew and liked most.
Although,
of the people.
I turned the TV set on in the middle of it and just saw Miley Cyrus's huge fake teeth lighting up my living room.
That was the only tween moment.
Yes. We'll take ourselves a break. Tease the next story, T, before we hit the break. Would you please?
Sure. Details about Heath Ledger's cremation on Saturday in Australia. I'll tell you about that. And also, who was the big winner at the box office this weekend? A movie none of us would ever see.
I will play you the Roper and Ebert at the Movies review.
Oh!
It is awesome.
Okay.
Of that movie, not since Good Luck Chuck, if I heard that kind of vitriol coming from Roper's mouth. We'll play that and do the rest of the news next.
And we're back.
As always, you're invited to come on along with us.
To the Adam Carolla Show.
All righty, T-Bone.
Yeah.
Got a good look this morning, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's do the rest of the news.
Funeral services were held for Heath Ledger Saturday in Fremantle, Australia, which is just outside of his hometown of Perth. First, there was a memorial at a place called Penhouse College. That one was attended by hundreds of people, including Kate Blanchett, who delivered a eulogy. Kate and Heath worked together on last year's Bob Dylan film, I'm Not There. Heath's favorite songs were played, including Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes, The Times They Are Changin' by Bob Dylan, The Beatles' Here Comes the Sun, and Come Together.
I want the Lean Like a Cholo.
That'll be your funeral.
That suicidal ripoff of Under the Boardwalk.
That would make
you a girl by Sean Kingston.
There you go.
That's be mine too. Oh, and Maneater.
Don't act like you know that, man.
Also, Happily Ever After by Ben Harper, who actually wrote that song for Matilda Rose, the 2-year-old daughter of Heath Ledger and Michelle Williams. Now, after that service, a much smaller group maybe.
Hold on a second. You got to put the person's name in it. If you're going to do that, I wrote this for you.
Right.
Because then you could say it about every chick you date, every friend who craps out a kid, every person who dies. BS. You got to have the person's name.
Otherwise, they could be telling a lot of people, this is about your kid.
Yes.
They wouldn't be any the wiser.
That's right.
After that service, there was a much smaller service, about 10 people in all. They went to a private ceremony at Fremantle Cemetery where Heath's remains were cremated. There's no word whether they're buried or if someone kept them or what they're going to do with his cremains.
His, by the way, it feels to me, I'm not really paying attention, but it sort of reminds me of when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar retired. He retired, and it took 65 games for him to retire. Every city he went to, he got
farewell
a Harley
tour.
Davidson and a rocking chair.
Heath Ledger
died for like 4 years ago. Like, it just never stops dying.
I know what you mean.
Dying.
Like, when Paris Hilton turned 21, she kept having birthdays in various countries. It never ended.
Look, I don't want to be insensitive to a grieving family, but here, when I'm in charge, you get one birthday and one funeral. I hope they're not the same day. But either way, you figure it out. I don't want any birthday tours and I'm tired. Well, we had a service here on the West Coast. Then we had a service on the East Coast. And I went back to Perth and we had another service. You pick your time, pick your place, buy plane tickets, whatever it is. You get one funeral and one birthday.
How
I agree.
How about weddings that stretch out for a few days?
I don't like the weddings. What? And I don't like this one where they go, we got married in Bali.
Right.
But then we had another service in Sherman Oaks because we got a lot of friends.
For his friends.
Well, where does it end? Why don't you just go to everyone's house and have a ceremony?
I've got a cousin in Philadelphia.
Well,
we're doing a little something there.
Get on the plane and fly on out to his apartment in South Philly and go ahead and put one on, too.
Now, should St. Patrick's Day be one day or should you be wearing your Kiss Me I'm Irish pin?
That's my point. Look, I'm going to grandfather you Jews in with Hanukkah.
8 days.
That's right. By the way, week not enough to celebrate the Festival of Lights? You need another day?
That's how long the oil lasts.
You see, that's why people, forget it. Just keep doing the news, baby girl.
All right. At this special ceremony, Heath's former fiance, Michelle Williams, read Shakespeare's Sonnet 18. That's the one that begins, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" After that service, people from both memorials gathered at a place called the Indiana Tea House.
Hmm.
A third location.
Good name for TV. Oh, my God.
Apparently, that beach was one of Heath's favorite places. Around sunset, about 50 of the mourners dropped their clothes and jumped into the ocean in their underwear. Michelle Williams joined them briefly but didn't take off her dress. When she got out of the water, security guards were waiting for her with a towel. Heath's sister, Kate Ledger, then joined the group, also fully clothed.
How weird would it be getting a boner when you're bringing your buddy or your mate out to? You're like, Heath, I'm going to miss you, bro. Wow, your younger sister's kind of hot. I mean, no, man. I mean, I'm going to get on this longboard and I'm going to paddle you out to the reef and Jesus, that white dress is kind of clingy. No!
Gotta love Dawson's Creek.
It's the problem. It is a problem with a guy. You can actually get wood at any place,
especially
anytime.
People, girls in wet dresses, and they were, according to Us Weekly, everyone was slapping the water and shouting, Heath.
It's a good way to track sharks.
It is.
All right. Sad, but again, one funeral and one birthday. Paris, if you're listening, you don't get to have your East Coast, West Coast, Vegas. You don't get to go have, it's not a tour. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Glad you mentioned sharks. If you ever saw the movie Jaws, you will never forget this line.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the man who spoke it, Roy Scheider, Chief Brody in Jaws, has died at the age of 75. The cause of death not released.
East Coast funerals today.
Wow, then we're going to Perth.
Yeah.
Perth!
At the box office.
Yeah. I liked Roy.
Yeah.
He was good in that movie, and he was good in almost everything he did.
He was in The French Connection, Marathon Man, All That Jazz, one of my favorites, and Blue Thunder.
Yeah, he was great as a chain-smoking Bob Fosse, I think, from the 70s. Yeah, he was great, and he also just had one of these faces that was just made for the camera.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At the box office, the big winner at number one, Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey's Fool's Gold, earning $22 million.
Oh. Look, here's the problem with our society. The smart people have figured out what to do with you dumb people and how to get your money, and it's working. We're doing what they want. We're playing into their diabolical hand. They know they can take two people that look good with their shirts off, put them in a crappy movie, hit you over the head with advertising, and there's enough people in this country that are just dumb enough to go see a movie that seems like it's been made 2,000 times already. It's his last four movies and her last nine movies. And by the way, she hasn't made a decent movie since Almost Famous, in my mind.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days was all right. I liked it.
It was okay for the genre.
Yeah.
But it was
right.
not a great movie since Almost Famous.
It wasn't a debacle like Yumi and Dupree.
But her first movie was her only real good movie, and we're coming up on 10 years now, are we not?
Yeah, unless we're missing something.
No, sort of the Cuba Gooding Jr. of that whole set.
Yeah, well, you'll be happy to know that Paris Hilton's movie, The Hottie and the Naughty, okay, it opened on 111 screens. It earned $76 per location.
Wow, that's still too much.
It's projected to make $23,000 in the first three-day weekend.
For the love of Christ, I couldn't get my movie distributed. For the love of Christ.
At number two, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins, and rounding out the top three, Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds Tour. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news powered by MSN. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
Look, if you just get the top 10 movies at the box office this week, you will never stop vomiting and realizing how the terrorists are right and how stupid we are. So here's this McConaughey abortion. I was watching one of my favorite shows, Roper and Ebert. I never know what to call it. Ebert's name
Roper.
Is still on it.
Yeah.
At the movies. And here's what they said about the number one movie of this week, $22 million strong of the Fool's Gold.
I don't even know where to start or how quickly to end, because this is one of those movies. It just seems also just thrown together from all of these plot elements that don't really belong together. And that are just, it's a kind of big stew of action, romance, not clever.
That's
A.O.
Scott.
So tired. Well, that's the thing that I find insulting about it. Nobody's doing a good job in this film. And McConaughey in particular, you know, it's such a lazy performance and such a lazy role. And really, okay, we get it. You're in shape. Don't you want to make a movie that has some merit? It's not even good, light piece
of
entertainment.
But there's also no sexual tension, no chemistry between them, no thought that there might actually be some obstacle to their reunion. It was pointless. I hated it.
And then, he's, by the way, either has a tumor and has 9 months to live or has just had an impacted ass full of Hollywood, because he's digging into movies like I've never seen him dig in before. He used to go thumbs down. If you heard him tear into Good Luck Chuck, you're like, wow. This guy's angry, and it feels good. It's nice to have some truth. That was the number one movie at the box office last week, and then the Roscoe Jenkins movie was the number two one, and
Hannah Montana at number three.
The Roscoe Jenkins got as bad a review, by the way,
really?
By then. Yes. Because aren't all these movies we've seen before?
Well, not The Eye. I'm sure it's totally original.
You know, Juno put it back into the top five. That was actually kind of nice to see.
That was nice.
Yes, it does give me hope for this country. Yeah. All right, we need to... Uh-oh, someone's in love with me. Stephanie?
Yes?
You're calling from the Valley?
Adam!
Oh,
my God. I'm so in love with you. It's ridiculous.
What part of the Valley are you calling from?
West Hills. Who's the way, chubby?
What do you want to say?
I just wanted to tell you that you rock my world, man. I'm a married woman, and I get constant crap from my husband about how much I talk about you.
Mm.
I call him every morning and hear, oh, my God, you have to turn on Adam. You have to do it. He's like, dude, I'm sick of hearing about it.
Yeah, and he calls you dude, huh?
Dude.
You married to Bonaducci?
Brah.
No, you know there are other guys that call chicks dude.
No, no, I'm married.
Dude.
Oh, that's right. He does call me dude. Or dog. Dog.
Oh, boy.
That one, too.
You picked a winner. Hey, Stephanie.
Yeah, no, but he definitely tells me that that he needs to stop hearing about it. But he's a jealous Mexican, so it's kind of funny.
Hmm. And Stephanie, what do you do for a living?
I process disability claims at an insurance company.
Oh, would I be depressed. I would love me, too, if I did your gig.
No, it's really hard sometimes because you hear people going through a lot of, like, terminal illness and things like that.
And what's your jealous Mexican husband do for a living?
He's a landscaper.
Or is that a lie? Or is that a job?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. He's a landscaper. He's a gardener, basically, but he owns his own business.
All right. Good times. Yeah. All right. So, so Stephanie, do you have any kids?
Yes, I do. I have a daughter. She's 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, congratulations.
Planning on more kids?
Not anytime soon right now. I'm just kind of concentrating on this one.
Okay. Yeah, good. I like that. I like the focusing on the one you have.
Yeah, I mean, I want her to feel special. I don't want to just pop another one out.
No, listen. God bless you, Stephanie, because I want to say this real quick. I have a bunch of cars, and you know what happens when you have a bunch of cars?
You want them all to feel special.
You do, but you can't tend to all of them.
No.
You just can't. You start working on one of them a little bit, and then you look at the other car, and you go, oh, Christ, that one needs work, too. And so you try to give them the love you can, but you really can't, as opposed to that one baby of yours. You know that? You know there's that weirdo veteran guy who has the Willie's Army Jeep that, you know, circa 1942, the kind of one Patton died in? You know, there's always that one neighborhood guy who has the one vehicle. It's the weird vehicle, but that's the neighborhood guy. Maybe you grew up with that guy. Maybe he's in your neighborhood now. That guy has one car. It's a Jeep. That Jeep on eBay, $3,500, maybe $3,800, but he treats it like it's priceless. Why? He's got the one car, and it all focuses on that one car. When you have a bunch of cars, it's great, and maybe technically you like cars, and maybe you like cars more than the old timer with the Willys, but you don't give it the attention. Well, it's the same with kids. 13 kids versus the one kid, you just can't focus, and we don't focus on that as a society. Quiet, I'm daddy's. All right. Daddy's on a jag.
You can only focus on one of the two twins. That's the right. Other one is going to have to change his own timing belt.
I'm just saying, every time you do it, it breaks off into fractions. Yes, I hear what you're saying. You have one kid, 100%. Two kids?
Yeah.
Sorry, 50%.
What about only children becoming bratty?
Well, that is true. You do become that Jeep. You actually become that Jeep with the handicap placard, and then you start parking your ass everywhere, anywhere you want, and then we have to hear about it. All right. That's true. But two kids, three kids, fine. Eight kids, that's abuse. 12 kids, I think some should be collected. And I don't care how much money you have and how much help you have. There's two parents, for the love of Christ.
Right.
Okay, we'll take ourselves a break. T?
Yes?
When we come back, a little thing called Last Week in Rage. Sometimes we do This Week in Rage on a Friday, but we were so loaded last Friday that we're not getting to it until now.
We're going
to
look back in anger.
Yeah, let's see. Number five, little girl wanting to be a veterinarian. That got 7% of the vote at AdamCarolla.com. All hot chicks loving dolphins. Being envious of people who've ordered breakfast when I order lunch. Now, this is a little bit different. This is that when you find out you could have gotten breakfast, except for the bitch handed you the lunch menu. And by the way, whatever menu you give me at the restaurant, I'm going to assume that's what you're offering at this time. There's nothing worse than that thing where you're going, I guess I'll have the cod salad. And then someone's like, what, eggs Florentine? Oh, yeah, no, they serve breakfast. So give me that one then. Or clearly market, breakfast served all day. All right, where was I? Birds.
Get an early start.
Yeah, birds is pets. I don't trust the birds, and I don't trust the owners either. And Matthew McConaughey going shirtless. Wow. This will be good. Last Week in Rage, next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time to count down the top five things that pissed Adam off last week.
Who's laughing?
Last Week in Rage on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ooh. Eating some lovely almonds. Why is it everything that tastes good is bad for you?
You like the taste of almonds or you don't?
Well, here's the point. I like smoked almonds.
Oh, yeah. Those are so much better than raw.
Roasted and rolled in that beautiful, salty, smoky chemical mix. I mean, there's nothing better than smoked almonds. And then the people say, oh, no, you can't. Those are bad for you. Eat the raw almonds. Oh, the unsalted ones that just turn into paste in my mouth? Yeah, those are good. So not only are there cheeseburgers, taste great, bad for you, versus broccaflower, which is tastes like hell, good for you, but within the same food group. Even within the umbrella of almonds, under the umbrella of the almond family. And I'd like to take some shelter under that umbrella during a rainstorm because I love almonds. The honey roasted almonds, no good for you. Smoked almonds, no good for you.
Chocolate covered?
Mm-hmm. No good for you. Everything almond is no good for you except for the one almond, which is the unroasted, unsalted one, which tastes like crap. Those are good for you.
I think what you're saying is the better tasting version of always is worse for you.
Not only, but not only is it better tasting food, it's better tasting version. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Energy bars.
Yes.
Almonds,
all right. Where are we?
Rage.
This week in rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What?
Number five.
If I had a nickel for every chick, especially hot chick, that said she wanted to be a veterinarian when she was younger, I would be a rich, rich man. Thank God I tune out almost immediately when I hear hot chicks talking. I just see their mouths moving and their boobs glowing like orbs. I wanted to be a veterinarian. And by the way, you wanting to be something that you never came close to makes you a loser. You should stop bragging about it. You know, people brag about, I wanted to be something, like it means something. Look, if you wanted to play pro ball, but you had a cartilage tear when you were trying out with the Rams in 87, I'm all ears. If you wanted to play pro ball, but got cut off your high school junior varsity team, who cares? People act like that made them better athletes because they wanted to do something. No, it just means you're living in a fantasy land. All you hot chicks that were put on academic probation at the junior college before you married a producer, stop telling me you wanted to be a veterinarian. And what is it about every single chick under the age of 8 who wants to work with animals? And by the way, I will snuff out that dream so fast for my young daughter, your head will spin. And thank God, I don't think my daughter wants to be a veterinarian because I had to tell her yesterday to stop punching Molly. We put her in the car and she punches Molly.
Maybe she was checking for kidney stones.
Nice. Nice, Pat. My wife says, nice. I say, no, keep slapping, baby. I don't want to pay for veterinarian school and I don't want to hear the lies either. All right,
number
what's next?
Four.
This must have been during the same jag because this is hot chicks loving dolphins. They love dolphins. I told you, if we could mix a dolphin and a horse, there'd be no animal that could get more hot tail on terra firma.
Sure, or a unicorn. We came up with the dolphicorn.
Right. All right, so the half man, half horse, that's a centaur. How about a dolphtar?
Yeah.
Sounds like a retarded action series. Dolphtar, the impaler. Yeah, but he impaled himself. He's a retarded action figure. Come on, give him a break. He's dolphtar. Yeah, dolphtar, half horse, half dolphin.
All just girls love him.
Four hooves and a blowhole. That's right.
That's all he needs.
That's all he needs. Oh, you chicks, you love dolphins. And by the way, I don't think dolphins like you that much. And by the way, that part where the dolphins are going to save you in a shark attack, I don't think so. I think they're going to hang back and finish off whatever scraps the sharks leave behind, or just get into a circle, pop some corn, and start laughing, your ass being eaten. We love dolphins a little too much. As a matter of fact, if you think about dolphins versus cockroaches, what a cockroach ever do to you? You ever wake up and find your cockroach humping your girlfriend or stepping cockroach crap or do anything? Cockroach never did anything. Yes, they must all be killed. They never did a thing, and we got to kill every cockroach we see. Dolphins, every time one gets caught up in a tuna net, there's Hayden Panettiere crying her little cankly eyes out over there. Come on now. Dolphins never did a thing. We like dolphins because they're smooth and they travel in those little packs and they make that little hump move and they come out of the water and they blow out the air. But dolphins never did anything for us. Dolphins aren't your friends. Ladies, you worry about the ace man. Stop humping the dolphins.
Number three.
Oh, yeah. Being envious of everyone who orders breakfast when I order lunch. I went to the Four Seasons Hotel the other day. And the Four Seasons Hotel for lunch is nice, but it's that highfalutin food. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
a sandwich you eat and you're still hungry.
Right.
Tell me about
it. It's the endives and all the, like, greens and all the crap. And I got a piece of, like, halibut that was on top of a pile of mower trimmings that had been, like, poached. And so, like, fancy food. And they get caught up in the presentation. And by the way, let me tell you who doesn't get caught up in the presentation of food and who has the best food. Mexicans. Mexican food is the best. No presentation. Hell, the cheese from the beans is running off onto the rice. That stuff's running over here. There's a big heap of sauce on the top and guacamole. Mexicans, no presentation, just the best food on the planet. The honky, we're all caught up in what the crap looks like. Well, speaking of crap, that's what it's all going to look like in about an hour and a half. Just give me the grub. But anyway, I order the, like, poached salmon on the greens, which sucked, for $30. And then as I'm sitting there, everyone starts pulling up the scrambled eggs and the hash browns and the potatoes and the sausage. You know how breakfast looks better than anything you have in front of you? Even if you have breakfast, you'll look at the next guy's breakfast and you'll go, wow, huevos ranchero. Damn it.
And smells.
Damn it. I should have gone that way. Should have gone the huevos route. But the worst is when you don't know it. Now, I don't know if there's some kind of secret signal they were giving to the waitress, but I'm reading off the menu and I don't see bangers and eggs anywhere on this menu. So if you're going to serve breakfast, let it be known. As a matter of fact, that sandwich board sign, I want the waitress wearing that with the breakfast menu on it. Then you can hand me the lunch menu.
Number two.
Oh, I don't know who's worse, birds or the people that own them.
They both scare me.
Yes. How about the guy at the inline skates with the macaw on his shoulder who's going down the Venice Strip trying to meet hotties? Oh. Look, I hate birds. First off, they don't even have hands. You can't pet a bird. They can't snuggle with a bird. And here's how I know birds suck. I know guys have owned birds for 10 years. They reach into they've been cleaning up their crap. They've been feeding them. They've been taking care of them for 10 years. They reach in a cage. A bird bites them. The first thing they do is chomp down on them. Oh, I worked at a gym that had a giant macaw in it. And it used to crunch my stopwatch every time. Oh. It will crunch and bite and smash anything. And by the way, those beaks of theirs, 200,000 pounds per square inch of pressure. I mean, the jaws of life don't have that kind of pressure. The bird weighs a pound. Its jaw has 7,000 tons of per square inch pressure. Would crush anchor chain if it could get to it. But all they do is bite, and all they do is scream, and they don't cuddle, and they suck. And not only do they suck, everyone who owns them sucks. Because you then need to be friends with their birds. And by the way, don't get a bird. Because birds replace everything in your life. They replace your kids. They replace your husband. They replace your wife. They replace girlfriends and coworkers. They're your bird. And that's why people have birds drag them around everywhere. Because they don't have families. They don't have kids. Single, desperate losers own birds. Get rid of the bird and meet someone hot on MySpace. Thank you. All right.
Number one.
McConaughey. Sounds like an Indian saying no. You know what I mean?
Would you like to see Fool's Gold?
McConaughey!
Do you think Kate Hudson's a good actress?
That's a move where I stop my horse, I rear back on it, and I raise one hand, and everyone behind me stops. That, by the way, I'm going to add to my list of things to do. You know that move?
Right.
Where I just stop. Every once in a while, I do the fake out like you do when you're throwing the tennis ball with your dog. We're just going through the chaparral, and I just stop the horse every once in a while. I put my hand up. Oh, and everyone settles. I go, nothing. And we keep moving. McConaughey! Chief Running Bear, we think 5 or 6 acres would be enough for you. McConaughey! That's what I yell. Yeah, when I mean no. And I'd like to say no to Matthew McConaughey. Put a shirt on, brother. It's called acting. It's not modeling. It's acting. And unless your areolas can act, which I feel very acquainted with, I feel like I could pick McConaughey's areolas out of a lineup. And right. I don't like that.
No.
Now, listen, Kate Hudson, you want to walk around with the shirt off? God bless you. But McConaughey, you're a dude. Put a shirt on, and then you pop it off for the love scene that takes 6 minutes, and we'll all get a thrill. And by the way, when he makes love, what do you think he does? Puts on a fire suit and pokes his ding-a-ling out of the fly? I mean, if he's nude when he cycles, if he's nude when he's jogging, if he's nude in every movie he's doing now, when he makes love, ironically, what do you think? He puts on a full wetsuit or a suit of armor?
Hazmat.
Yes.
Turn himself inside out.
McConaughey, you've done push-ups. We get it. Now stop making crappy movies.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
McConaughey! Really, that hold-up move, that's a power move.
Yeah, now does the horse rear up?
The horse didn't even know we were stopping. That's what happens. They do that thing. I come to the hill, and nobody... There's no talking, by the way. Like, you don't have to do the double hand.
Right.
Indians understand that. White guys, there'd be one guy yammering in the back where you'd have to go, Herb! Jesus Christ, shut up! Jesus, the camp is right down there.
We have nonverbal signs. We've been using them for generations.
Sarge, making a cell phone call. Oh, God, for Christ's sake. Quiet. Yeah, see, Whitey'd have to give two hands. You'd have to give the one hand move and then the shut up. The Indians, pow. Silence. Could hear a pin drop.
List of things that you want to accomplish, by the way, before you die is the Army Ranger signals, like the this and that.
Oh, yeah, I do have that. Yeah, you know what?
Fist up means stop.
SWAT teams use those?
Well, I'm going to put a finer point on that. I have that underwater.
Ooh.
Oh, point at the watch.
Scuba, okay. I want to point at my watch underwater.
Is this a scuba SWAT mission?
Yeah, point at the watch.
Like in The Rock.
Okay. Yeah, do that move. Yeah, underwater, scuba, Navy SEAL, point at the watch to my other scuba guy.
That's right.
Knife. Tucked into the ankle holster. Point at the watch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, time is of the essence when you're under there.
Mm-hmm.
You only have so much oxygen.
Or maybe I'm just saying, hey, look at this watch.
Isn't it cool?
It's a cool watch. Jeez, we got to be about 50 meters here. This is awesome. You know the difference between water-resistant and waterproof, right? Oh, you know? Let's go up to the surface so I can talk. I couldn't scuba dive because I can't talk. I can't complain.
Why doesn't the housekeeping service sync my watch?
Did you actually try to scuba dive and found that you literally couldn't stop talking?
Well, what happened was is I tried scuba diving once, and I got that little dry erase board that you can draw on, like you write stuff.
For emergency.
And I was like, what the F is up with coral? Clownfish, give me it. And I realized I couldn't write, and then I ran out of ink, and then I had to go to the surface and complain and go back down, and I got the bends going to the surface too fast.
Wow.
That is the one. See, I can't scuba dive because there's no complaining in scuba diving.
Right. You can only use the dry erase board a limited amount before you filled it up.
And I'd pop back up, and the dive instructor was like, hey, Mace, man, you had an hour's worth of oxygen. I don't got...
And then who do you talk to? Because everyone else is underwater. You have to talk to the boat captain.
People are diving off the boat.
You're out of oxygen. I don't care.
Nobody else came back up.
You know when those whales beach themselves?
Yeah.
That's from the time I went scuba diving. I was complaining to the whales.
You're like, hey, you, why are you called a sperm whale?
What's up with that? How weird is that?
I don't get that. It's weird.
Call me weird, but I don't want to take my 9-year-old to see the big sperm whale.
Hey, is this school of fish always making left-hand turns?
Why are dolphins a pod anyway?
You guys got any pie down here?
How about a gaggle? And by the way, pie. God, that doesn't start with a D. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, T-Bone.
Yes.
What do you got?
Are we going to talk Grammys?
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a good show. Such a good show. I'm going to play you some of the great duets from last night, and also Kanye and Vince Gill kind of got into it.
Awesome. We'll do that next.
And the Grammy goes to...
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hold on, I got to complain about something before we get to the Grammys.
Sure.
You're sitting, T.
Yeah.
I just got back from beautiful Seattle. Great people, great station. Want to give a tip of the cap to the one of... What are you, allergic to good radio, Bald Brian?
Yeah.
107.7
the all day.
Out there. Again, consistency. Remember I was complaining a few weeks back that when I went to Arizona, I had to do one thing in the Burbank airport and then another thing... as far as security went in the Arizona airport.
Right.
Well, now it's even worse because now you do one thing on the southwest side when you go to that terminal of the Burbank airport, and then another thing if you go to the other side and go to the Alaskan side. I got another thing where I had to take the toiletry bag out and do the thing with the clear bag that I still don't really understand. And the reason I don't clearly understand it is three reasons. A, I'm a horrible student. B, actually make it four, I'm drunk most of the time I'm at airports.
Right.
And C, and this is the big one, you guys haven't figured it out. You have a different regulation for every airport and in the same airport. the same airport. If you go to the Southwest side, you don't have to do the thing. But if you go to the Alaskan side and you go through that security, you do have to do that. Now, listen, you know how you make people memorize stuff? You do things consistently. See, school starts at 8:06 every morning. And if you started at 8:15 on Thursdays and 7:45 the next week and 6:25, well, how many people would be late? Everyone. Consistency, people. The whole bag thing with the toiletries, fine. And then that part where the diesel dyke has to go through your toiletry bag, you know, it's not like I had a big thing that said herpes cure on it and a big cider jug or anything, but that's your personal stuff.
I didn't know you were working on that.
Oh, yes.
Could be worth a lot.
My point is, you'll be the first to know, T. Point is this. I'm now standing there because when I went to Burbank 2 weeks ago and went through the other side of the airport, I didn't have to put everything in the Ziploc bag. Now I'm on this side of the airport and I have to put everything in the Ziploc bag. And I'm just standing there in front of God and everyone while the diesel dyke goes through my kit. And it's got junk in there I don't remember putting in there and double down on stuff. And there's nothing embarrassing. Maybe a little zit cream is probably the most embarrassing item in the thing. But just the idea that I'm standing there and she's capsizing my toiletry bag out on the table while everyone else is filing past us. I just thought, terrorist, you've won. You're done. You don't have to blow anything up to make a point. Oh, maybe once every 10 years you can blow something up as sort of a booster shot. But we're already there. I'm already standing at the airport while the lady capsizes my little kit and picks through all the personal crap. All right, T. Sorry. The Grammy news.
Right. Grammy news. Are you sure you're done?
I'm done.
You gotten it all out of your system?
I'm done.
When's your next trip?
Let's see. I went out of town 2 weeks in a row. I think our Vegas trip is our is my next trip.
You're driving.
I think I'm driving a Subaru WRX out there, an STI.
Okay.
Mm.
So we can't count on hearing this rant for a while.
No.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, I will be hauling ass.
Okay, last night was...
No, let me say one other thing. Because now you got me going.
I was so close.
They got me going.
I shouldn't open my mouth. After you've made the sale, you're supposed to stop talking.
That's right. But now I'm back. And I'm going to return the Grammys. Because I got something else I want to say. Just dig this concept, everybody. T, don't tune out. Come on, now focus.
All right, I'm tuning in.
I always say hauling ass gets you from one place to another twice as fast. And every time I hear something on TV, it's always slow it down, click it or ticket. And I grew up spoon fed that lie where Timmy and Johnny both left for the airport at the same time. Timmy ignored all posted speed limits and traffic signs and whatever. They both arrived at the same time. Here's how I know that's not true. I was going on a jog the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking Molly, who, by the way, has learned to urinate while she's jogging.
Huh.
I appreciate because it can take her urine and spread it out over a couple hundred yards. I was taking my dog Molly for a jog, and I was out jogging, and I passed another couple, two ladies, attractive ladies. That's why I took notice of them. They were walking. They were walking in the opposite direction that I was jogging, and I passed by them. I passed by them, made a big loop around the block, went about another mile and a half, turned around and came back. Well, you know what? When I was jogging back, I passed those same two ladies and they were going the same direction. I had run another 3 miles and passed them again because why? I was running and they were walking. That's how I know you cover more ground when you speed and you ignore left turn arrows. Thank you. All right, T. Now we can do the Grammys.
Okay.
Oh, we're out of time. No, go ahead.
No, listen, I only spent 4 hours watching them last night and an hour this morning preparing, but I don't care
if
we
talk about
the
Grammys. Oh, look, that's like a gay watching the Tonys. What do we have to do, duct tape you to the sofa, or did you just pull in a Vicodin and a smart cocktail and call it a night?
It goes pretty, this one was pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good show. Kanye West performed Hey Mama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why you get the big bucks, right?
All right.
That's right
I've
up there.
I lost my will.
That's right. I have to explain
have
to my wife
my
what work Olympic Garden was. Come on, man. It was work. It was a station thing.
Right.
We're in Vegas. We had to go to Olympic Garden.
That's working for us.
That's
watching
right.
TV and going to strip clubs. Okay, so Kanye West performed Hey Mama as a tribute to his mom.
I saw you in my dreams. Now I can't wait to go to sleep.
Black guy loves his mama.
Last night
well, she did recently die. You get the idea.
No.
Now I can't wait to go to sleep.
And this life is all a dream.
Yeah, I'm mad at her because I think she made him into a monster.
Wait till you hear his acceptance speech. Graduation won Best Rap Album. Here's just the first half.
You know, I wanted to cross the genres and show people, you know, how we could still express ourselves with something fresh and new, and that's what hip hop has always been
about.
Genres, you know,
is a
coming
river
out with
in
new
Egypt.
Sounds and stuff. So I always so common, like, man, you gotta time the album out better. You can't drop them the same year as me, man. You gotta. This is my award. I wanna. And for Mark Ronson and Amy Winehouse, come on, you gonna play music on me?
This music?
For Mark Ronson, I'm Amy Winehouse. If I don't get to get up here for Album of the Year, you deserve it just as much as me. I deserve it too. And so just to say something about my mother, I appreciate all the support. I appreciate all the prayers. It would be in good taste to stop the music then.
Well, here's the thing. He's way over his time.
Right.
And he should have started with the mom stuff first and then talking about Common and whatever.
Well, you understand you have 45 seconds to make your comment.
He's well aware of this, obviously.
Right. But, so give your props to Mama when you hit the stage.
Right.
And then you can get to the producers later if you have enough time.
It's like in journalism. There's the pyramid. You put the most important information at the top because the bottom might get cut.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, they
what
start...
What was that word you used?
Pyramid? Journalism?
Yeah.
Right.
What's that one?
Oh, my God. I've forgotten.
Oh, is that what you guys put in the books at the book house?
At the library?
That's
true
the
that,
thing.
Pete.
Sometimes they do have newspapers and magazines there.
See, here's the thing. I know, on those huge Asian bamboo swords.
Yeah, that's how they store them.
Library does not have the word book in it. And journalism does not have the word write in it.
It doesn't
have... So how do you expect regular people to understand?
Right. It almost has the word Jew, but not quite. Like, jewelry is easy for you.
Oh, man. I mean, yes.
But a journal has the word journal in it.
Hmm?
Journal. Let a woman be a journalist is like to give a monkey a gun.
That's what Borat told me.
All right.
So Kanye has left the mom stuff to the bottom of the pyramid. He hasn't gotten to it yet. They're playing this very upbeat music, and he demands that he be heard.
It would be in good taste to stop the music then. I appreciate everything, and I know you're really proud of me right now, and I know you wouldn't want me to stop, and you want me
to
be the number one artist
looking
in the
out.
World.
She created a
and mama,
monster.
All I'm gonna do is keep making you proud. We run this.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. She created an out-of-control narcissist, because she must have fed him a steady diet of, like, Gerber's and praise.
Yeah.
There's
a nothing
good,
you can't do.
That's a hell of a wine cooler right there.
Yeah.
Gerber's and praise.
Yeah.
I definitely drink that peachy.
Kids love it.
Oh, that peachy, lovely Gerber's and praise. All right, so.
Well, like any praise, you can have too much and it becomes sick.
She created a monster, yes. Yeah. I saw Kanye West and I was like, what happened to this guy? Who raised this guy? He's up there talking about how great he is all the time. And then you see him up there with his mom and his mom's talking about. And now you realize his praise factory died when his mom died.
But now the praise factory is in his own mind. It's relocated.
I know.
And it's going gangbusters at that factory. They just hired 700 new praise workers.
Look, he's a pompous ass, and we should say something about it.
Well, Vince Gill said something about it. He won for Best Country Album.
Good,
these
but
days.
That's just going to come across as racist because he's a country guy.
He kind of pulls it off. You know, he won this award, and it was given to him by Ringo Starr.
I just got an award given to me by a Beatle.
I would have preferred Pete Best.
Have you had that happen yet, Kanye?
There you go. It's just a little gentle elbowing.
Right, but he dropped an N-bomb like 10 seconds later. We just clipped it.
Yeah, I thought that was a little much.
Mm-hmm.
How about Beyonce and Tina Turner?
Mm.
They got together for some Proud Mary.
She's got great legs.
Did you see her last night?
She's got great legs. Holds up some of the craziest hair on the planet, but great legs. Never found Tina Turner sexy. Always felt like she would bite me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's a lot of woman.
Yeah, some say too much.
You wouldn't want her
Actually, when you become too much woman, you start turning into a dude.
Sure.
Yeah, she scares me. She has a lot of horrible songs that people don't give her credit for.
Private Dancer.
Yeah, that whole album sucks.
What's Love Got to Do with It isn't bad.
No, it's not bad, but I'm trying to think of Tina Turner's, off of that same album, her really crappy song. We Don't Need Another Hero.
Yeah, that is crappy.
The Thunderdome thing. Yeah. Oh. Hey, let me say this real fast. Because it has to do with the Grammys.
Okay.
You know, I talk about movies that never get played on cable.
Yeah.
We're talking to Norm Macdonald about Dirty Work.
Dirty Work.
They play the Thunderdome Road Warrior thing all the time. They never play the original. That original Road Warrior, which is one of the greatest, coolest action movies ever put down on film, never, ever gets played on cable. But they play the crappy Thunderdome version all the time. Paul Bryan?
I'm with you. I talked about it with a friend, and there was some, I wish I could give you more information, there's some rights issue where the first one didn't really get released properly, and then that was the Road Warrior, then Mad Max was the sequel. That gets played a lot, and Beyond Thunderdome was the third one that gets played a ton, too.
No. Okay, we'll get into it off the air, because I'm saying the Road Warrior doesn't get played. Mad Max gets played,
right.
Road Warrior's
the first one, there was some problem with the release, doesn't get played.
No, Mad Max was the first one.
Oh.
That's where the confusion was. Sorry, T. See, that was Grammy talk.
Keely Smith and Kid Rock did a duet.
What does that have to do with Mel Gibson and gay guys driving dune buggies?
Oh, black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your bula meets mine. Then that elevator starts to down and down I go. Down and down I go. Round and around I go. And I can leave.
I should stay away, but what can I do?
I love that big band stuff.
Yeah, she was great, Keely. She sang amazingly, although she's, you know, getting up there in years. But she was very confused as to where to go, and she sort of messed up her line. I think she was supposed to come out and say, I'm just here presenting, I'm not going to sing. And Kid Rock was supposed to bust out and say, what do you mean? You have to sing. And then they were going to launch it into their duet.
Screwed it up.
She came out and said, I'm here, and I'm going to sing. And then Kid Rock still had to come out and say, what? You're not going to sing? He pulled it off.
Oh, he did.
And then when they read all the nominations and they were about to read the winner of their award, and Keely stopped and said, no, we have to read the nominations.
Yeah.
Kid Rock said, we did that already.
Yeah. Wow, but, confused old blues singer.
Yeah. She sounds great, and I thought Kid Rock sounded pretty good.
Now, that was just Keely and who?
Kid Rock.
That was Kid Rock?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I couldn't even tell that was him.
I know. I've never heard him sing that way before.
Oh, black magic has me in a spell.
Oh, now I'm seeing it.
Oh, black magic that you
he has a bluesy tone to his voice.
Those icy fingers up and down my spine.
Yeah. It's had a little, like, Tony Bennett sound to him.
A little bit, yeah.
All right.
Amy Winehouse won 5 out of the 6 Grammys for which she was nominated, the major Grammys. But when it came to Album of the Year, there was a really big surprise. Was it going to be the Foo Fighters, Vince Gill, Kanye West Graduation, or Amy Winehouse with Back to Black?
Why don't we tease it? Because you've done so much work here, T. Clearly you're bitter about having to watch an award show on a Sunday night.
No, I would have been watching it anyway.
So why don't we tease it? Because we have so many more good Grammy clips, and it was such a good show.
I don't care. We could finish
it
if
let's,
you want.
I don't have much more. Yeah, let's do it. Let's tease it, and we'll come back. And let me just say this. I don't know if anyone did this, but I have my list of things I want to do, and then list of here's how you know you've arrived.
Right.
We're talking about the definition of a legend, and we're doing it off the air. But one of the ways you know you've arrived is when you get to perform from a stool.
Uh-huh.
Not playing the guitar, not playing the clarinet, but when they put a stool out there. You know, when you can sing, if you go to the Playboy Jazz Festival, there'll be a couple of old people that sit down on a stool. Those guys, they're legends.
Right.
And if you can do a comedy while sitting on a stool, too, you've arrived.
Very few people do that.
Comedy, if you can sing or tell jokes while sitting on a bar stool on stage, you've arrived.
Christina Aguilera sings on a stool when she does Beautiful or one of her ballads.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about for effect. I mean because you can't move.
I see.
You're either morbidly obese or you lost a leg to diabetes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, but they still want to hear you sing.
If I was doing a comedy routine and I was playing a club and I put a stool down there and I sat down and start complaining about garbage men or left turn errors, I'd be like, hey, J.O., I paid $12. Now get up. No one would take me sitting on a stool. They know I'm able-bodied. You know you've arrived when you do any job where you sit at a stool.
It's good to know.
All right. T, rest of the Grammy news?
Yeah.
Unless it reminds me of a jogging story. We got Music Monday coming up, too. TV theme song. So, we'll do the rest of the Grammys next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's Music Monday. And since we're going to be at the Playboy Mansion tomorrow night for the NBC launch party for Knight Rider, we figured we'd play you some of the best and the worst TV theme songs of all time. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ah, yes. We'll wrap up our Grammy highlights, and then we'll get right into that. T? A
lot of great performances at last night's Grammys, but one of my favorites featured two virtuoso piano players. One, Herbie Hancock, and the second, a 25-year-old virtuoso named Lang Lang.
So this is a panda bear playing right now?
I think that's Ling Ling. This is Lang Lang.
I heard you say Ling Ling.
He is from China.
You're lucky I was sitting down. You named Ling Ling from China? And by the way, why stop with two Lings? You know what I mean?
He's Lang Lang.
Or why stop with two Langs? Why not just go Lang Lang Lang?
Well, maybe his parents also didn't give him a middle name.
Okay,
maybe they didn't care about him.
Okay, I get it. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought up a sore subject.
No middle name.
Anyway, they did Rhapsody in Blue, the Gershwin tune, and did it very nicely. And they had these overhead cameras, so you could see the tops of the pianos and their fingers playing. It was great.
But so you see the paws right there on top of the 88s, huh? Right on the, just tinkling the ivories.
Amazing that it's possible with the paws and everything.
Mm.
Album of the year.
Mm.
It seemed, you know, like it would be Amy Winehouse, because she had already won 5 out of her 6 nominations. Seemed like she'd win for Back to Black. Could it be Graduation, Kanye West?
Can I ask you this quickly? If you're just to put your money on a piano playing competition.
Yeah.
And I said, we're going to take an average graduate of the LA Unified School District and put them up against a panda bear.
Is the panda bear Chinese?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I put the money on the panda. I just do, because I fear at least it might hit its head once on the right note.
Well, it could. Listen, the kid could be from a good school district.
Yeah.
Maybe it lives in Pasadena or something. No?
Nah. I'm going with the panda.
Well, that 25-year-old could really play. So, anyway, it was kind of shocking when Herbie Hancock won for River, the Joni Letters. And he seemed shocked, too, when he gave his acceptance speech.
And I'd like to thank the Academy for courageously breaking the mold this time. And in doing so, honor the giants upon whose shoulders I stand, some of whom, like Miles Davis, John Coltrane, unquestionably deserved this award in the past.
It's got to be weird when he's telling people, I won the Grammy for Album of the Year last night, and people are not saying, oh my God, they're saying, you were nominated?
Like, I wouldn't even get aware.
I wouldn't even get past the nomination part.
I don't know what, were you aware he had an album?
Yeah, no, the Grammy, once again, bravely breaking from the mold of nominating and honoring irrelevant artists.
I think he's relevant.
Oh no! When's the last time you mentioned Herbie Hancock in conversation?
Well, there's pop music, and that's short for popular, and then there's music. I mean, there's a lot of guys
like. No doubt.
Yeah, so I'm fine with it. I mean, I think it's kind of cool.
He seems so shocked. He had two different speeches in his coat pocket. He had dropped one. Okay, Quincy Jones was one of the people presenting, so he was still on stage, and Quincy has lost.
He had two speeches? Like, if you're Herbie's wife, and you saw him getting, you know, like it's Saturday before the Grammy, hey, we want to go sailing? No, no can do. I got to work. Sweetness?
She says, you were nominated?
You were nominated? And then secondly, let's not jinx it. But do you really need two? And look, I'll tell you what'll stop the jinx, by the way.
What?
Because I do believe writing the acceptance speech is also jinxing.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. You do an acceptance speech with nothing but the C word, the N word, and F bombs. Then you go, if I win, I will have to do this speech. And you make a pact, you make a blood pact that this is the one. So you're like, I would like to effing thank the all the N's and C's. Well, don't play me off. I want to thank, well, first off, I want to thank my agent, who's, by the way, a C. So who says ladies can't and an N? So who says minorities can't make? F you, Shaniqua, this one's for you. And I'd like to thank the effing voting members of the Academy for giving the right effing guy the right effing trophy this year. And I'd like to thank a hearty F you to you, C's and N's. And, yeah, I want to dedicate this to my effing grandmother, who's a C.
No,
she up and died. Oh, and Kanye's West effing mom, too. This is for you. And, you C's like me. You effing like me. You really effing like me. Thank you. See, now, if you wrote that speech and you said, okay, I will read this and my kids will burn in hell, you would win, right?
Right. And then if you lost, you would at least be relieved that you didn't have to say that speech. You win either way.
You'd be sitting there holding your wife's hand. Oh,
why does Corolla so happy to have lost? He's like, arms
this
in the air.
Great. All right, sorry.
Well, Amy Winehouse, when she performed via satellite in London, she looked pretty okay. She did a nice job singing. She seemed very coherent, but
she's doing this song.
Yeah. Hmm. But they caught up with Natalie Cole, herself a recovering drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And was she happy for Amy Winehouse after the Grammys?
Not happy about the Amy Winehouse thing. No, don't think she deserved it. She needs to get her life together first and then get the awards later. You don't get awarded for bad behavior. That's the problem, is that we're teaching these young folks that they get awarded for being crazy, and it's not the deal. You know, so I'm not too happy about that. But I wish her luck. I really hope that she gets herself together.
Now, her dad's Nat King Cole.
Right.
That's a blowhard move.
I know.
Oh, Christ, you have a vagina. How about Natalie?
Ah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's even blowhardier than naming your kid after you.
Is a version of your
name. The female version of your name.
Right.
Blowhardy.
Well, listen, look at Jamie Lynn Spears. It's her mom and dad's name combined into one white trash miracle.
Awesome stuff.
That's it. I'm excited to hear your television theme song.
Ah, well, I have them right here. So, Music Monday, we got the big Knight Rider show from the Playboy Mansion tomorrow, and we thought we'd get to themes. This is one that, I didn't suggest this one. Our writer, Mike, suggested this one, but I am guilty of agreeing with him. It's a theme from the show. Again, we'll go good, we'll go bad. This is a good one. Crank Yankers. Fountains of Wayne.
Come one, come all, 'cause we're having a ball. We're just making some calls to strangers. Come on, come on, you can say what you want, and they'll never know if you're deranged.
It's my show, but I didn't write the song, and I like it.
Was it written specifically for Crank Yankers?
Yes, it was. That was Hawaii 5-0 originally, but...
I was researching yesterday. You find a lot of songs weren't, they were pre-existing.
No, they were. They were songs written by a lot of the folks that were at the Grammys last night. But those are the cool jazz medleys and stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This one and the Green Acres theme were the only two songs that were ever written specifically for the show. All right, that's a good one. Another good one is from one of my favorite cartoons. Oh, no. No, play it. You're right. Tonight Show.
So associated with Johnny.
I know, you just think, oh, here we go.
That's good, it swings.
Yeah, listen, see, for me, nothing better than this because you don't need to know the song. It's just a big band, it's a whole bunch of guys that have mastered their instruments and they're all rocking out. This is Doc Severinsen. don't know if shows can afford this anymore. I mean, there's literally 30 guys up on stage.
Yeah.
There's some good. We have some bad, too. We have Teresa's. We have mine. We have yours. TV theme songs, best and worst. Music Monday. We'll do it next.
Tomorrow night, the Adam Carolla Show broadcast live from the Playboy Mansion.
Knight Rider.
For the NBC Knight Rider launch party. Go to AdamCarolla.com to register to win tickets. Knight Rider premieres on NBC February 17th, 9, 8 Central. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
TV themes. We have yours, we have ours, we have good, we have bad. Let's keep the party rolling. I'm going to do my first in the bad department. It's ubiquitous, you know it well, but it's still not good. Looks like something's missing, right?
Yeah.
You know what it seems like? It seems like a rough cut demo tape. Like
yeah. This will give you the idea of how our theme song's going
to
sound.
Yeah, like you put this on a tape and you send it to the guy who's going to sing it. And you go, you get the general idea. When we get the musicians in the studio, so it's going to fill up the room. But at the let's hear the beginning. Play the beginning of that one more time. Again, and again, just think demo tape for the artist to get the beat. Sounds like one guy's playing the drums and the guitar in his own studio simultaneously.
Fairly confident that's what was happening. By the way, I'm no fan of Three's Company theme or any of these themes, but in their defense, I don't think these songs were meant to be heard through stereo speakers and stuff. They're probably meant to be heard through tinny TV speakers, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if you dumb a song down for the tinny speakers, because the speakers from the sets from the 50s and the 60s were worse, and they had huge, big orchestras, and they still sounded pretty good. So I dig your retarded argument, but I do think it's retarded.
And I dug the show.
Yeah, no, here's what it was. Everyone was high out of their minds on cocaine, and nobody cared.
By the way, the Ropers had a spinoff show.
Mm-hmm.
I almost chose that theme song. It's just like that, but without the words. Bad.
And again, the notion that the whole TV show is based on the fact that the guys... the whole TV show is he'll not tolerate two women and a man living together platonically, but he will tolerate a gay guy living in his building.
Yeah.
And I would argue that if you took, you know, guys that were sort of homophobic and old fashioned and religious and whatever, right wing and whatever Roper was, and you said, who do you hate more? Single guys living with hot chicks or the gays? Smart money? Gay.
Yeah, but hate crime, not as funny as a bunch of double entendres.
Very true. All right, let's keep going with my second in the bad department. This is from... It's a little theme here. Suzanne Summers.
I remember this very well.
You do?
TGIF, right? TGIF, right?
Right. You want to know why?
Because I was 12 and
it was Friday night.
Yeah.
And it was during your formative years,
yeah,
and you
exactly.
had no date.
Sorry, I wasn't inviting girls over to play with my Etch a Sketch.
I watch the show religiously too. Sad.
Never seen an episode.
That means you had a social
Patrick Duffy,
life,
right?
Yeah. Patrick Duffy and Suzanne Summers all through the 90s. The show was on for like 8 years.
Yeah.
That's why I swear to God, Suzanne Summers, every 10 minutes in the 90s, must have had this question. Suzanne, are you ever going to go back and do another sitcom? Oh, I'm doing one.
No,
I don't have cable. I don't have satellite. No, it's on a network. You know, weekends. No, it's on a weekday. It's on a network. It's on prime time. It's on a weekday, and it's been on for 9 years. Thank you very much for the question. Am I ever going to do another sitcom? Yeah, but that's the way to go. Get your check, sail under the radar.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a bad, and now a newer bad one from a great show, and great shows, as I'll prove later, can have bad theme songs. The Office. Now, don't associate your good show with this crappy song and thus turn it into a good song. It's still bad. help it, you like the show.
It doesn't quite go with the show.
Yeah, it doesn't quite go with anything.
Match.
Yeah, bad and modern. All right, we have good. We have your good. T?
Yeah?
What do you got in the good department?
Okay, well, this is actually in my top three favorite television shows of all time, but I love the song independently. Have you ever been watching, you know, like an entire season of a show on DVD and you fall asleep and it keeps playing the song over and over because the DVD is still on?
I've never watched a TV show on DVD. DVD's for porn.
So fun.
I'm old-fashioned.
No, it's so fun.
My grandfather pulled me aside. We're whittling a kayak, and he said, son, let me tell you, I mean, God rest his soul. He's, you know, he's gone now, but 60 years in the ground. But he pulled me aside and he said, son, the DVD format, that's the domain of porn, not for TV shows.
I can understand that, although it's great. Because if you missed, I missed this entire show when it was, you know, for some reason, it just was not on my radar. So I ended up watching four seasons, you know, 80 episodes in a matter of maybe 2 months. So I heard the song a lot and I love it. It was picked out by Dennis Leary's son. It's called Come On, Come On, and it's from Rescue Me.
This is one of those shows that everyone says is great. This and The Wire, and I've never seen 10 minutes of either. Come on, come on, with who is this?
The Von Bondies. They're like an indie rock garage band out of Detroit. It's a great song. And this is over a montage of, you know, black and white shots at the firehouse and of New York City.
Yeah, I dig it. All right, Paul Bryan.
Oh, well, this is Kismet, because mine is very similar from a similar show, and I mean the whole theme is similar, and the sounds and everything. This is maybe the greatest. Now, this became the show's theme song after the movie came out, which was a watershed moment in my life.
Transformers was a TV show? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Dig that guitar. This is like 87, 88. This was very big in a young Brian Bishop's life.
Do you want a moment to masturbate and Tina?
I took care of it before the show started.
Oh, okay, smart.
At each microphone.
This is Transformers.
This is rockin'. This is butt rock.
And who is this? Do you know the
don't
band?
Know. Don't care. I actually don't know who it is.
The Decepticons.
The production values, though, off the charts.
Imagine these poor guys in the studio in the 80s, you know, with the big hair and the tight jeans, trying to get laid, hanging out at the Rainbow. We did the... Come on now!
We did the theme for a major motion picture.
Yeah. All right, let's reel it in and play one of my favorites. And I don't even know if it's because it's a great song or I just have a Pavlovian response to it, but... The new Monday Night Football theme sucks.
I like this one.
Oh, now picture the guy going. Old man Willie's picked one off and he's going down the field in slow motion. They used to pull really tight on guys' faces and it'd be that great grainy orange 70s film. And they'd just be tight on a guy running down on the kickoff coverage. His jowls would be flapping around and snot be coming out of his nose. And you knew Howard Cosell was about to heat up that mic, and he was loaded. It was a rich stadium in Buffalo. It was colder in the press box than it was on the field somehow. Couldn't they put a window or something on those things?
Guess not.
It's all bundled up. And Howard was going to do the halftime highlights. Or you talk about the speed burner.
That's something you have to explain to your kids some days. We used to wait all week to see 3 minutes for the highlights from all the games.
When he would go, they said he wasn't fast enough to return punts in the NFL. But don't tell him that. As he turns the corner, 80 yards, payday. And he'd go, once in a while he'd fake you out. He'd go, but on the ensuing kickoff. I'm trying to think of one of the Rafael Septian kicking to Billy White Shoes Johnson. Cuts left, now picks up a block. He's not going to be touched. 89 yards for an apparent touchdown, but no, nullified. Holding call, Paco's on to win it. You're like, what? Huh? What happened?
You get the bends.
Yes. Oh, listen to this. Mmm. wants to hear, are you ready for some football and have the runner-up from last year's American Idol crap it out. Give me a break. This is real Monday Night Football theme music. All right, T, you got something in the bad department?
Yeah, it's really bad. Doesn't get any worse. It does not get, I'm not overselling this. You remember the show Joni Loves Chachi in 1982?
Yes, I do.
It featured who you call, you think she's manly, so you call her Aaron Moorman. It's Moran.
She is turning into a man. I'm not saying she's a man yet.
And Scott Baio, those were the two stars, and they decided, hey, let's do a theme song featuring the vocals from both Scott Baio and Aaron Moran.
Well, all actors are great singers.
Sure. It's a song called You Look
Shatner
at Me.
Shatner taught us that.
I need you to wait. You're going to hear both Scott Baio and Aaron, but I need you to wait to the chorus because that is when it really hits its stride.
All right.
Scott's about to come in.
Something magic in the way you hold me in your eyes. No one ever warned me, love just takes you by surprise. I don't know what's come over me, you got me hypnotized. When you look at me,
where everyone's really high on coke and wearing horrible jackets with their sleeves pulled up in the recording room. Like, we got a hit. We got a hit on our hands.
Listen, I don't mind if Linda Lavin wants to sing a little Alice.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is not right.
It's a sitcom, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a serious song.
It's not about a couple that lost their dog in a fire or anything, is it?
Does one of them have a terminal illness?
I think she does, yes.
Surging testosterone levels.
That'd be a tough draw on the wheel of everyone Scott Baio has humped over the years if it landed on the Aaron Moran slice of the pizza.
Yeah.
That would be what we call in the wheel spinning hypothetical sex wheel trade, what we call a tough draw.
Yeah, very.
That'd be like, come on, Pam Anderson.
Come on.
Come on, chick from Charles and Charles.
Oh.
God, I need a bag. All right, that is a bad ball. Brian, what do you got in the bad department?
Well, if anyone in their late 20s remembers, there was a Super Mario Brothers video game, a Super Mario Brothers cereal, Super Mario Brothers t-shirt, blah, 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 and a Super Mario Brothers TV show, an after-school live-action show starring Captain Lou Albano with a song sung by Captain Lou Albano.
Oh,
oh no.
Man.
And it's called Do the Mario.
Swing your arms.
It's a dance.
From side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario. Take one step.
That island, that island beat. It's always a cop out. It's always a cop out when you're doing a song.
This is the song from the video game.
You got it.
Oh, yeah.
It's Mario.
There it is.
Do the Mario.
So crass. The exact is, we need a song, and we need kids to dance to it.
Do the Mario. Take one.
And by the way, and then like, again, let's we have the Casio to do the song, but we didn't spring for the deluxe one with the
come
drum beat.
Now, just like that.
Captain Lou.
Wow, that is horrific.
Hey, Lou, soften it up next time.
That's right. Let's try it again. This time have fun with it. All right. Ball Brian, I want to go to a good one. I want to go to my next good one. I have some bad ones here, but this one I love so much. Douglas. Horns are kicking. Hold on. Here it comes. That's cool sax.
Do you ever hear horns and accidentally think your dad's talking to you?
What's that? I cleaned my room last weekend.
It's just a song, Adam.
What? I know the lawn's not going to mow itself, but I...
We should let him watch Nick at Night.
I know.
College is like...
It's confusing for him.
College is like high school, except for there's four... Yeah, no, well, yeah, it costs money. Why are you laughing, huh? Listen to that saxo. Like, you want to play that Pussy Kenny G thing? That thing's a penis with a reed in it. Or do you want to play this sax? Oh, man.
Great song.
Streets of San Francisco. I won't say, I don't want to date myself and talk about how old that show was, but Michael Douglas was a spry 42 and Catherine Zeta-Jones was not born yet. So that's basically how old. That'd be cool, though. That'd be cool. We should all have that. You know, a little muse lands on our shoulder when we're 40 years old and goes, hey, your hot wife? Yeah. Not born yet. Next one. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm 42. All right, T.
Yep.
You got one more in the bad department?
Yeah, this is obvious, but it deserves special credit because it's not only an awful song from a show I don't care for, but it destroyed the band that made it because they were just a small band getting a little success. They figured, great, we sold a song to a show. It's not going to ruin us.
Oh, I'm going to clap along.
The Rembrandts.
Here we go.
I'm ready, I'm ready.
Fast enough. I kind of like this song.
Pleasant.
Effed out, though.
Overplayed,
yeah. All right, I can dig it. Bald Brian, you know this one in our sleep.
Yeah,
yeah, it is tough on the band, too, because all they did was write a popular song for a popular show.
And now that's all you know them for, and if you hear the Rembrandts, you can only think of this song.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch the show, so listening to it is kind of like, it's a poppy, inoffensive song, I guess.
Yeah. All right. What do you got, Bald Brian?
Well, I don't have a bad song. In fact, I have a great song, because there were so many great songs, I couldn't bring myself to bring a bad one, and this is the greatest song that has ever been associated with a cartoon. It's a cartoon called DuckTales. DuckTales is an after-school cartoon. This song's great.
Is it Darkwing Duck?
No. This is like Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Or rewrite history. DuckTales horns!
A 9-year-old Brian sitting around with his comb over falling into his Cheerios. Did you have a comb over like when you're in the fifth grade? I mean, when the hair started thinning, you must have done something. You don't just shave your head in the ninth grade, right?
I'd gone from a comb over in junior high to the GLH, the spray on hair.
Oh, you
top coverage. By the time DuckTales came around.
Does not come off on upholstery. Thank Christ. I had a date.
But it came off at football practice.
And on any rainy day?
Rogaine Jr.
That's right.
Comes in a little Superman dispenser.
That's right. All right, that was a great
song.
All
right, I'm going to play what is the worst. And again, I put my finger on this. My kids are really into this show on the theme of horrible animated movies or animated TV shows. Kids.
You're getting to be a big boy.
It's Caillou, everybody. He's bald, too, by the way.
Oh, why don't you start watching?
Caillou's bald?
He's your first MySpace friend.
And only
Caillou and Tom.
You know how I'm xenophobic?
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to correct people, but I'm not really racist. I'm more xenophobic.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have problems with other countries.
Right.
I watch this Caillou, this goddamn Caillou, for like four months with my kids, and it's a retarded show, and all the color palettes all screwed up. It's like cars with green wheels and green bumpers, and everything's fake and sucks, and it's boring. And at a certain point, I was like, I smell foreigner on this. Something's whacked out. You know when you smell foreigner on stuff? Like, this is too effed up. And by the way, I know American effed up. This ain't American effed up. This is foreigner effed up.
Sure.
Then you start looking at the things and you don't see any Mexicans and there's only like one black guy and you're like, what the hell's going on? I smell effed up. And
that's about a guy named Pierre.
Went and looked into it. Yeah, Canadian. French Canadian. I knew there was. I knew it had a foreign stink to it.
So you told your kids no more Caillou.
I don't want them to be communists like they are over there in Canada.
Right.
F that noise.
It's no
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Let's go out though with my best and my bonus song. Do you have that? You want to talk about what a cartoon could be? All right, we just heard a poor example of a cartoon theme. We have now what could be the best cartoon theme ever. It's coming. Into the whole sort of different Middle Eastern theme in a second. Snake Charmer. Come on, Haji. Get on that camel. Literally a camel jockey. That's how racist we were in the 60s. It was a simpler time.
Yeah.
You're setting your ways.
Yeah. Listen to this production. All right. Little Johnny Quest for you. Gummy Bears.
Oh, that was great.
Someone says the new show Chuck has a good theme to it. Hill Street Blues.
Oh, I like that one.
We listen to Rockford Files now. That's a good one, too. Quantum Leap, bad. Entourage, good.
Oh, the Jane's Addiction song?
Yeah.
Perry Farrell, Porn for Pyros?
Hey, Amy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on that. I like the show so much, I sort of enjoy it, but I don't know if I'd sit around and listen to it.
Oh, you don't like Jane's Addiction? Who doesn't like Jane's Addiction? That's an awesome album that they've put out.
I know, but Jane's... I like
too cool
Jane's
for school.
They're too cool for school, and every song sounds exactly like.
You know, my favorite song by them is a cover of Sympathy for the Devil. It's great. Mm.
You shouldn't be able to say, if you're a band, you shouldn't be able to go, that's exactly, we know who the band is before we hear the band.
Right.
You know what I mean? Before we hear who did the song. All right, but Amy, I'll take it. Hey, T.
Yep.
You got some news you want to tease?
I sure do. I've got a story that involves two things you hate. Well, I presume. I know you hate lottery winners, and I can only presume you hate sex offenders.
I hate in that order, though.
Yeah, in that order.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
here's where they intersect. I will tell you.
Oh, okay. We'll take ourselves a break, and Ozzy's got himself a movie review of the number one movie last week, sadly. Take a break. Do the news next.
On today's episode, Whoopi talks about who she voted for last week.
I saw an interview, I'm not going to say with who, but I finally heard something that I really was waiting to hear, and it was important for me to hear what was this particular thing. And I thought, okay, I said the first one that's cops to this, I'm going to go with them, and they did. Well, if I tell you, then you'll know who it is.
Stay tuned for more How Bad is Whoopi? Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I feel like I know how to vote now. Whoopi just... By the way, can't you say who you're going to vote for?
It's like she left joke class after the setup session, but not in the punchline in the payoff session.
I can leave now. I get how to tell a joke.
Yeah, no. Whoopi, sweetie, it's Tuesday and Thursday night. You can't just go Tuesday night to the setup part. All right, T-Bone. Well, one of the many who beat you out for your gig at The View. But look at you. You landed on your feet.
Yeah, I'm on deep cable and in radio.
Seriously, you would be miserable with those wicked women over there.
All those millions of dollars would make you miserable.
And they would hate you. You know why? Because you speak your mind.
All those endorsements you'd be doing after work, you really get tired of that.
Oh, yeah, my $2 million endorsement for Payless.
Having to go to all those Broadway plays just so you could report back on Monday.
Red carpet people
terrible.
Asking you about nothing, like what'd you do this week?
Right. Months off when I have my baby.
And
then
yeah.
I phone in and tell you how my baby looks and how cute it is.
Well, how could you possibly be funnier than Sherry Shepherd?
Intellectually she's destroying funny. The other midgets.
All right, T, let's do the news, baby.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Amy Winehouse won 5 out of the 6 Grammys she was nominated for last night. She looked really good. She performed well, too. Here she is accepting her Grammy for Record of the Year.
Thank you to everyone at Island Records, everyone at EMI Music Publishing, to Ray Ray and Joe, 10 years this year, Ray Ray and Joe, to Mark Ronson and Salama and me, to my mum and dad. For my Blake incarcerated, and for London, this is for London, because Camden Town ain't burning down.
I didn't even tell you what song she won for, Adam, but I bet you could guess.
Oh, that's just so many Winehouse songs to select from. Could it be that one that sounds like the one Martha Reeves did in 1966?
That's right, Rehab.
All right.
Meanwhile,
we got to find my Sally Go Round the Roses, or that get all... erased in last year's files.
Oh.
That's awesome stuff.
That song sounds remarkably like Rehab. And now that's all I can think about.
Sally Go Round Roses. Yeah, okay. Here's the other thing. Let me ask you this about Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
I don't know her. I don't know her music very well. But if she was from Indiana and had no tattoos and no drug problems and just sort of dressed in jeans and a T-shirt, do you think she'd get the praise? Do you think she'd get the whatever? I know she's cool and she has a cool accent.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool having the white chick sing with the black girls and all that kind of stuff. But if you just said she was from Indiana, no tattoos, and was just based on the merits of the music, do you think she'd be cleaning up this way?
I think it's the total package that's compelling. Mm-hmm. Her voice is really interesting.
It's interesting.
Different.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, I think a lot of it is that there's a soulfulness to the song because you know that she has been in rehab. It should be in rehab. And,
right. Okay.
And last night, she didn't have black backup girls. She had guys.
Hmm?
Yeah, it was great. She had backup guys dancing and singing.
Good times.
In the world of politics, Democratic presidential hopeful Barack Obama has won his party's caucuses in the state of Maine. Obama coasted to another easy victory over his nearest rival, Senator Hillary Clinton. Obama also scored victories over Clinton yesterday in a few other states, Louisiana, Nebraska, and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
President Bush went on Fox News Sunday, and he was asked his opinion of Barack Obama.
Do you think there's a rush to judgment about Barack Obama? Do you think voters know enough about him?
I certainly don't know what he believes in. The only foreign policy thing I remember he said was he's going to attack Pakistan and embrace Ahmadinejad in his yacht, which I think I've commented that in a press conference when I was asked about that.
But so you don't think that we know enough about him or what he stands?
Doesn't seem like it to me, but there's still campaigns. There's plenty of time for candidates to get defined. He is yet his party's nominee.
So why do you think he's gotten this far if people don't know what he stands for?
You're the pundit. I'm just a simple president.
He does the same thing Whoopi does. Maybe it's what happens when dumb people talk. They do that.
You could hear the inhale.
That inhale is, I'm thinking.
I gotta think for a second.
Nothing's going on. Listen to Whoopi. Could you play the?
The bump in, Bill.
Yeah.
Can you grab the Bill played it. Help Bill cue it up. The last bump in we did.
Hey, board up, Bill. Yeah.
He's looking for it.
Yeah, you play that and listen to Whoopi's pattern, and then look.
I'll tell you
to Bush.
Who did a lot of that. When I did do the View, I was seated next to Star Jones, and it was very. I mean, I couldn't have been more nervous, of course. But then Star Jones inhales each and every one. It was like. I thought she was going to drop dead.
Got one
dead.
Of your ponytails stuck in her lungs?
Yeah! I still had one ponytail left.
It's like blue velvet.
Suck the back of my blazer.
All right, now listen to Whoopi.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show and another episode of How Bad is Whoopi? On today's episode, Whoopi talks about who she voted for last week.
I saw an interview, I'm not going to say with who, but I finally heard something that I really was waiting to hear, and it was important for me to hear what was this particular thing. And I thought, okay, I said the first one that's tops to this, I'm going to go with them, and they did. Well, if I tell you, then you'll know who it is.
All right, now, stay tuned. We just cut it off there. There would have been a fifth. All right, now listen to the first couple that Bush does. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a rush to judgment about Barack Obama? Do you think voters know enough about him?
I certainly don't know what he believes in. The only foreign policy thing I remember he said was he's going to attack Pakistan and embrace Ahmadinejad, which I think I've commented that in a press conference when I was asked
about
that.
But so you don't think?
But you get it. I think when dumb people need time to think, they do that big gulp.
Like, you're saying Bush isn't quick on his feet?
Here's some oxygen,
He's
brain.
He's just a simple president.
Get busy. That's what I'll do. I'll go, all right, there's your precious oxygen you've been begging for. Now get busy with the jokes and the quips. There. You satisfied?
By the way, after listening to Whoopi twice, I'm still not sure what she meant. Do you know what she meant?
She was like, oxygen, Brian, I gave you oxygen. Now make my mouth say something good.
I'll give you more.
Okay, we just listened to Whoopi two times, right?
I don't know. She was waiting for a particular interview to come out to decide whether or not to endorse a certain candidate, but she wouldn't tell us the candidate or the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And it got very confusing.
Look, that's Whoopi. That's that show, and she's the smart one of the group.
I know. Again, listen.
No, God bless them. No, they're all
God
awesome.
God bless them. They're sweet people. And look, I'm on radio and deep cable. I'm not sweating it.
Also, you know, to ask people that aren't very smart and really aren't funny at all to do a daily show for an hour long of live television every morning, 5 days a week, that's a tall order. I mean, usually I have to listen to radio to hear that. All right.
They do all their prep and makeup. Because they're in there a long freaking time. The makeup room is where they have their meeting.
Oh, what goes on with that show?
I'll tell you, you sit around, and then everyone gets nervous when Barbara Walters comes in.
Yeah.
And if you're me, she tells you to come over so she can take a good look at your face, because she's kind of old-fashioned show business, and she wants to see you up close.
Sweetie, you have big paws. Wow. I could park
scared.
A car in that pool.
I was very nervous. She was going to say something like that.
Get that huge powder puff that they used to use in the vaudevillian days and put it on your face.
I got scared because it was like melting like a Salvador Dali clock.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
I had lunch with Imelda Marcos last weekend.
Really? How was that?
Mm. Sweetie, who's that? Is that your mouth moving or is that a pour? Pour winked at me.
No, I'm trying to talk to you. I should probably get a facial.
I don't know if we should get foundation or Bondo.
I'm done with makeup. I'm out of makeup now.
Wow. Yeah. And by the way, there's just not enough makeup in Max Factor's factory to cover that nose up, sweetie. Don't sit next. Oh, no, actually do sit next to me because I have a big honker, too, and I want you next to me.
I'll tell you where you look good in Barbara Walters' light because that is the most brilliantly lit spot in all of television. They put the light under the camera.
Did they put the cheesecloth over the top of the camera or how does she wear it over her head?
And Vaseline over the cheesecloth.
And she puts it on her head?
And then they ask her to put it on her head.
She's still the second funniest person on that show.
That's true.
Oh, God.
Well,
this
intentionally
show
funny.
Joy is actually pretty informed.
Yes, Joy's not bad.
Yeah. All right. Winning the lottery could come with a price.
Good.
That is the case for a guy in Massachusetts. He's a convicted level 3 sex offender.
Oh.
He won $10 million in the Massachusetts state lottery.
By the way, they call that an average lottery player. That's their average.
Level 3 sex offender?
Yes.
Call it target demo.
And I wasn't supposed to say anything because we're advertising on this show, but over the Christmas holiday, they had gift certificates for lottery tickets. Not lottery tickets you buy for people, but gift certificates. You want to talk about tard-on-tard crime? Jesus Christ. Look. We should suspend the lottery in this state at least until we can get all the graffiti off the walls and get the schools fixed. And I know the money's going to the schools, but everyone close your eyes. School's better now or before the lottery? Interesting correlation, you idiots. Sorry, where was I?
This level 3 sex offender won $10 million. And according to the Worcester Gazette and Telegram, he's a 56-year-old man, and he could now face charges because as a sex offender, he was supposed to notify authorities that he had moved, and he had not. He got all this publicity after winning the lottery, and cops realized they didn't know where he was. And as a level 3 offender, they're considered the most dangerous and the most likely to commit another crime. So you're supposed to tell cops where you are.
Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Hey, you abducted and raped that 9-year-old. Here's $10 million.
Can you imagine? It's a bad day for karma.
I don't know who's more retarded, the people that believe in Jesus Christ or the ones that play the lottery. And listen, you retards, I'm just running in to buy a six-pack. Can we figure out some sort of retarded liquor store that you stupid people can go into and pick your stupid lottery? We'll call it Circle Loser. And you guys go in there and you pick your lottery tickets so I can get my six-pack and get the F home.
Do you want to know where the smart people are?
Hmm.
Well, Forbes magazine releases a year every list, the smartest cities in America.
Mm-mm.
To create their list, the people at Forbes first ranked cities based on the cost of living, housing market, crime rate, school system, mm-mm. and climate. They then factored in percentage of residents with bachelor's degrees, PhDs, and professional degrees such as doctors or lawyers,
mm-hmm.
and how many people had high school diplomas.
Mm-hmm.
The smartest city.
Now I'm going to Seattle. Wasn't that smart city before? Bay Area. I'm going to go either Seattle or somewhere in like Connecticut.
For the second straight year, Boulder, Colorado.
Damn it.
Smartest
College
city.
Town.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Over half the adults over the age of 25 in that city have a bachelor's degree, and over 90% graduated from high school. Boulder is home to the University of Colorado. Number two, Bethesda, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
This is very close to D.C., which is teeming with law degrees.
Right.
Ithaca, New York came in third.
Right, because nobody lives there.
And of the few that do, they all graduated from Ithaca or Cornell, which are both
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly 8% of the population of Ithaca has a PhD.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then that's just people that work at Cornell or Ithaca.
I guess some of them stay in the area.
Right.
Ann Arbor, Michigan, home of the University of Michigan, number four.
Oh, hold on. You can't. This is biggest college towns.
A lot of
them
are.
The smartest cities.
No. San Francisco came in at number nine because of the Silicon Valley types.
All right, that's a start. But you just going to the places with the biggest populace of college students and smallest number of residents is really not an official way. Like, I'm not moving to Ann Arbor. Now go, hey, I'm pick the family. We're going to move to Michigan Stadium. Actually, we're going to live on the 50-yard line. It's right in the middle of college.
Tempe, Arizona came in 850.
What do we got? So okay. Keep going. Who's dumbest?
Oh, it doesn't LA's say. It just has the 10 smartest.
LA's
I have no
gotta
idea.
Be
who,
the bottom of the barrel,
I have no
right?
idea where it is, Chico. But could mm-hmm. be trouble.
All right.
Also, Cambridge, Mass, and Iowa City, Iowa made the top 10 list.
All right.
Okay, now here's a story about the oldest couple in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
He's 93 and she's 85.
Go fast, baby, because we got Ozzy coming up.
Oh, I'll speed it up. They set a new record last week by becoming the oldest couple to ever get married in the UK. Peggy and James Mason are a combined 178 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking an RV trip around Britain and Ireland for their honeymoon.
Mm. Mm.
They'll have to, if they want to break the record for oldest married couple in history, they will have to live another 32 years combined. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
Well, Ozzy is waiting in the wings. He's got himself a review of Fool's Gold, number one at the box office. We'll hear it next.
Crazy,
ba ba ba
crazy, ba ba ba.
No, get out of my car!
He's a Latin man, there is no doubt.
Oz.
Yep, I'm here.
He's Nicaraguan born, that's why he's brown.
I'm vice versa.
Vice versa.
Most of his English is mispronounced. And there's a sound he makes when he wants his wife around. His name's Oswaldo, confusing when he talks.
I remember some friend, you know, living this parambolo in this movie.
This what?
His name's Oswaldo. Ooh. He's shooting Harry.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Ozzy.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My kids missed you over the weekend. My son goes, Ozzy, Ozzy. And he points. Yeah, whenever he sees someone napping and getting paid, he goes, Ozzy, Ozzy. What's happening, Oz, man? What movie did you see?
Fool's Gold.
Huh? For gras?
Fool's Gold.
Fool's Gold.
Fool's Gold.
There you go. Let's do our intro.
Oswaldo.
This is Jimmy's brother, by the way.
The Big Jonathan?
Yeah, Big Jonathan singing this.
Good guy.
Great guy.
Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
One good Kimmel.
The movie that I reviewing today mm-hmm. is Fool's Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Fool's Gold star Matthew McConaughey.
Hmm?
Is Ben.
Matthew McConaughey is Ben. Right?
Finnegan. Kate Hudson is Tess Finnegan.
Mm-hmm.
and Donald Sutherland is Nigel Hanekat.
What you call him?
Sutherland.
Sutherland.
Oh, Nigel?
No, Donald.
Yeah, but Donald Sutherland. Donald Sutherland plays who?
Nigel Hanekat.
Oh, no. Nigel?
Nigel.
Nigel.
Nigel, yeah, that's right.
Hanekat.
I got it.
I remember Laguna Nigel.
Yeah, hey, when you come with me to my next big Swing and Black Caucus meeting, if I meet any of the guys named Nigel, like there's a guy named Nigel Anus who's in there. I've done PI with him a few times. Just let me do that introduction. I'll handle that one, all right?
Yes, sir.
Make it confuse you, not to Nacho Libre.
I understand. All right, yes. Fool's
Gold. It's an adventure movie, romance, about a couple gone through a divorce.
But he's a treasure hunter, right?
Yep.
Here's what I've learned from watching treasure hunting movies.
Yeah.
It brings out the best and the worst in humanity.
Yeah, the extremes are drawn to it.
That's right. You're an evil, super evil foreign guy who's got lots of money to play with, or you're just a guy who wants to give whatever to the Smithsonian.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah. All right, sorry.
Fame has an obsession with a legendary treasure from the 18th century.
Huh?
Finn has an obsession.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
One billionaire guy, Nigel, Nigel,
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
Support for this special treasure.
Mm-hmm. So he's a millionaire guy. Is it the guy who owns billionaire?
Yeah.
It's the guy who owns BT, you think?
Yeah. It's got to be Nigel.
No, Nigel.
Okay.
Funny and dangerous situation happened in the stupid mafia guy and these gorillas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Please try. Imagine one treasure with over $7 million, $700 million.
Wow.
You think how many Lamborghini you buying?
Well, I could buy like six.
You think
you? You think about it?
I think about how many Lamborghinis I can buy with $700 million.
Yep.
All right. It's a lot of carnauba wax you'd be putting on, my brother.
In the end of the day, Full and Gold, let this review and call.
And that was Antoine's movie review. We hope you did not end up too confused. Oh, no, Antoine.
So here's the choices Ozzy will give you.
All right.
He'll give you Fool Gold.
Right.
Or he'll give you
Gold.
Fools and Gold. Or he'll give you Fools Golds.
Right.
But the one option that's not on the table is Fools Gold.
Right.
That will not be an option for him for the title of this
Either
movie.
Either both or plural or...
You have it 15 ways to Sunday, right, but you'll never get Fool's Gold.
Well, I thought it was a very edgy review today.
I did too.
Henry asking me, you know what movie I go watching?
Henry, your son.
Yeah, I say Fool's Gold. Henry say, what? I say Fool's Gold with Kate Hudson. Oh, Fool's Gold, Papa.
Mm-hmm.
Your own son had trouble.
Almost said it.
Fool's Gold, the story of Rosie O'Donnell as a goalkeeper.
All right, we'll take a break. Back to wrap it up now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ozzy.
Thanks, Ozzy.
Thank you.
Ah, Oz, man. All right, where are we? That is not nearly loud enough. He does that whenever he walks in, his wife comes running.
That's how he finds her.
Mm-hmm.
It really is deafening. It reverberates.
Yeah. No, it's more, it's like things aquatic life does to communicate.
Yes, sonar.
A turtle's clicking some clam into the belly or something. I can hear it from miles. All right. I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. Yeah. Oh, want to thank me. Hey, go to AdamCarolla.com. Win some tickets. NBC Night Rider Party at the Playboy Mansion coming up tomorrow. Or you can go to free2hd at adamcarolla.com. Listen to us all day long and maybe some crank anchor sprinkled in. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Don't sit next. Oh, no, actually do sit next to me because I have a big honker too and I want you next to me.